Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. The Intel report on COVID is out, and they have said they have no idea. That's it. Okay. We were all excited. You know, we're sitting here with Steve Bannon, and he's like, look, you know, the Intel report's coming out. We'll see what they say. And I'm like, oh, man. And, you know, we had a bunch of other people, and they're all excited. And they're like, COVID may have leaked from the Wuhan lab. Maybe. We don't know. We're divided. Nothing definitive, but there is a lot of news still in Afghanistan. And I got to be honest, guys. You know, I do think the Afghanistan stuff is probably the most important. But at a certain point, it's like, we have talked about it so much, I have talked about it so much, that I want, well, we're going to talk about it, obviously, but I wanted to lead in with something else, just because the Afghanistan stuff is some of the most depressing and dark stuff, and then it reminds you, and here I go reminding you, that the emperor has no clothes. So it's creepy stuff. Also, interestingly, in the news, this may come as a surprise to many of you, but Milo Yiannopoulos has been censored.
Huh.
Yeah. Again, on YouTube. Apparently, he got banned off YouTube, where he was still allowed. And, a lot of people, haven't heard from him in a long time because of the censorship, but censorship is still happening. So we'll definitely talk about that. And we're being joined by one of the experts on censorship, Dan Gaynor.
Thanks. I'm Vice President for Free Speech America at the Media Research Center, and we spend all our time trying to stop what's become an absolute madness on the Internet. Taking away all of our freedom to speak, to say anything. It was awful before, and then COVID, it just went insane because they feel you've now got the President of the United States and the Surgeon General who are trying to force the social media companies to restrict speech.
Yep.
It's utter insanity. So
keeps
me busy.
There's a story right now from Science Mag, NewsGuard certified Science Mag, a legitimate publication. Talking about, I think it's infection rates. Oh no, I'm sorry. It's talking about likelihood of what is it? It's
you don't want to be too specific because you know what's going to happen to you.
Well, no. I just want to. it's about like likelihood of catching COVID based on infection versus vaccine or something like that.
Yeah, it's talking about the immune response you'll have based on getting it versus getting the vaccination.
Twitter has censored it.
Right.
It's a legitimate study published by a legitimate magazine, Science Mag, NewsGuard certified. Can't talk about it. And we know this has been going on because Twitter shut down the Hunter Biden stories. There was collusion between big tech and the Democratic Party to shut down negative stories about Biden. And then we saw that Rasmussen poll that said if people were aware of what Joe and his son had done, Joe meaning like flying his son to China on Air Force Two and meeting with his business partners, people wouldn't have voted for him. That's the problem of censorship.
Well, and the problem, I've been online since before the World Wide Web. And which means A, I'm old, and B, I've got this nice perspective when it was pleasant. When you had like people talking online about the Guild, and Felicia Day, and everything was nice.
And then,
things started crazy in 2014, and then it got worse and worse in 15 and 16 with the election. And after Trump won, largely on the basis of social media, because he was a social media powerhouse. The social media companies in the left, and particularly in the traditional press, who are the biggest advocates for censorship, they went in completely insane. It just determined to, okay, you guys won with it. Well, we're going to take it all away. And every single day since then, they've been trying to put us more and more in a box. And it's, even though we call ourselves Free Speech America, that was when we launched, that sort of our mindset. Now it's not about free speech anymore because it was before even COVID, but now because of COVID, everything you spend all of your lives online. You go to school, your kids do, or you do. You work, you sell, you buy, you go to see the doctor, you interact with your government, you do everything, including banking. And they're if they censor us online in those, then it's not an issue of free speech. It's simply, are you a first-class or third-class citizen at this
simply
point?
Simply civil rights.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get into all that stuff. We'll check out the website, too. We got Ian.
Yeah, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking of the frogs in the pot and how we're slowly, this is like, oh, it's just a little bit of censorship here, a little bit there. Then all of a sudden, you said the naughty word on the phone. They're taking your phone number away. You're not allowed to get a phone now. You're not allowed to have a social media account now. You're not allowed to have a bank. Like, it's completely dehumanizing. Absolutely a violation of human rights. I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm excited too, as I already pitched in, because as soon as I saw this thing on Twitter, I called my magic special source who has two different master's degrees, including one in biomedical sciences, and I was like, bro, is getting a disease better or worse than getting the shot? Because with chickenpox, if you don't want to get shingles, you should get the shot. You shouldn't just get chickenpox. And he was like, it depends on the virus, depends on all this stuff, but there's no reason for Twitter to be censoring this. So I'm really excited to be talking about this.
Before we get started, head over to timcast.com, become a member, and you will get an advertisement-free experience as you browse the website, plus all of our members-only podcasts from the Timcast IRL show, and you'll be supporting our fierce and independent journalists. That's awesome, right? Mm. That should be enough, but also like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. It's Friday night. We chill a little bit on Friday nights. We got this news. It's not really news. It's nothing. From the New York Post. COVID origins report says it's plausible virus leaked from Wuhan lab. That's it. That's the origins report. Can't tell us the origins. The New York Post reports an unclassified summary of the U.S. intelligence community's report on COVID-19 says it's plausible the virus leaked from a lab in Wuhan and that it might be genetically engineered. The investigators remain divided. I suppose at the very least this, you know, now when the media says it's a conspiracy theory, that it's a genetically modified lab leak or something, you can be like, well, they said maybe. Take maybe, right?
Well, I mean, maybe means you can at least discuss it for a year. It was, you know, you went to the woodshed. They took you to the woodshed, beat you up a little bit, maybe suspended you, maybe banned you for talking about something. They went after members of Congress. You know,
yeah. But,
That's how extreme.
We mentioned this a little bit. Dave Rubin got suspended like a week before they announced booster shots for saying booster shots were coming. So Dave's tweeting like, they're going to have booster shots. Twitter suspends him. And then like a week later, the New York Times is like, booster shots have been announced.
I think with Dave, it looked like he had a lot of evidence showing that it probably would happen. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I imagine he said it is going to happen. And that's like crossing a line. Saying that it's evident and that it looks like it is very likely is very different than saying it is.
But journalists have been doing this for basically the history of journalism, saying, hey, we've got sources saying that this is going to happen. I was talking about this downstairs. You're not allowed to criticize the World Health Organization or the CDC, basically, by these social media companies. But then New York Times can run a story. They did a story at the end of, I think it was 2019, right at the end of the year, about the World Health Organization. They said, One of the givens of the World Health Organization is that they want you to keep open borders in the middle of a pandemic, which I think ordinary people would go, well, that's nuts. But they said, oh, it's this way. But then they dug into it, and it turns out there's absolutely no scientific reason for it. It's simply their agenda to keep the borders open. Now, why we do this? Well, because we're supposed to listen to the science-y people at the World Health Organization. Why?
Well, now the funny thing is, you know, and we'll give YouTube its piece in all of the horse dewormer stories. You know, it's the craziest thing seeing every single outlet refer to ivermectin as horse medicine, because it's like, don't they give ibuprofen to dogs? Like, don't they? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So the issue is, and for you YouTube, that ivermectin isn't FDA approved. There are some studies going on right now, but it is not FDA approved for treatment in COVID. But it's also not horse medicine. I mean, it technically is, but it is FDA approved for certain uses like topical scabies and I think, you know, general dewormer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy thing is how the media is walking in lockstep. They're all saying horse medicine.
It's not horse medicine. It's in a version of horse medicine, but it's also in other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
I mean, just, like it's just we medicine. Give, we yeah. give antibiotics to horses too.
Yeah, it doesn't we make them horse similar, antibiotics, like, right.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
But how the media is treating it this way, how, like, we have to even be careful bringing it up because YouTube is sitting there with their finger, like, there's somebody at YouTube right now with their finger over the ban button, it's shaking, and they're like, just say it. I'm gonna press the button. That's how excited they are to ban us.
Well, they're excited to ban everybody who dares. Oh, wait, you said the wrong thing. I interviewed Dr. Zev Zelenko, and he got documents restricted by Google Docs. Now, if that is not 1984-ish, wow. Oh, you've got stuff, you can't share them to other human beings, even though you wrote them, and they involve documents that you sent to, you know, to world leaders, but you can't share them to other human beings because they're locked out. I mean, that is...
There was a, I think BitChute was banned, mm-hmm. like Twitter had banned links to BitChute.
Yeah.
Or I think they still do it, like gives you a warning. And there was one thing I tweeted about, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, if you tried to tweet it, it would give you an error. And so they don't even say they censored you. They're just like, oops, site's broken. That's all it is. And then you're like, this one link. Remember when Facebook banned Minds?
Hmm.
You
yes.
That?
Yeah, yeah. And you couldn't send a Facebook message with minds.com yeah. in the message, or it would be like,
yep.
this tweet.
I can top that. There are people who are banned on Facebook, not that they're not allowed to be on Facebook. You cannot send their websites by Messenger on Facebook. They literally will not be able to send. We ran across, I think it was a dentist, a friend of mine was trying to go to, out in Arizona. And, like, I can't, she was trying to send me the link to the dentist, but he does some holistic health and couldn't do it. We ran a hunting group in Dallas. Their website was banned on Facebook, even though it didn't violate any Facebook rules. The Facebook, you know, authoritarians who don't like hunting banned them.
So, you know, looping back to the report, which tells us literally nothing, you know, the COVID origins report, you're basically saying that at least this allows us to talk about it now, right? Because before it was like, if you brought this stuff up, you're a conspiracy theorist, you risk getting banned or censored. But now that the Intel community is saying, maybe we should be safe, right?
Well,
like they're not going to ban us?
I mean, the thing is, they want to ban us. That's the problem. So since you've got rule sets that are designed to restrict anything they don't like, then the people who enforce them are people who restrict anything they don't like. And then the people you appeal to are the people who restrict anything you don't like. It's kind of set up. And of course, you got the fact checkers who are just evil and moronic. And they will also restrict anything they don't like.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about fact checking is all of these organizations that do fact checking that go through the Poynter Institute so that on Facebook they can remove you. Why don't conservatives set up fact checking organizations?
Here's why. Because I've had people ask us to do it. Because the fact checking network can also remove you. So you could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars hiring people, setting up the operation. It's very tedious. If you start fact-checking CNN, CNN's going to call the Poynter, and they're going to pull your authority, and then you're off. And that's it. You're done. Because they control the whole game. And what happened was a whole bunch of journalists got laid off back after 2008. So they came up, and the journalists hate the fact that people use what are called, you know, alternative facts. And so they basically came up with a way to game the system. They now control the facts, even though most of the time what they're doing is just narrative. Yeah, they don't care. We think your narrative is wrong. You need to include 60 more paragraphs.
Yeah, I got fact-checked by Lead Stories. Okay, so here's what happened. I tweeted out something about Epstein's plane and, like, Bill Clinton or something like that. And I don't remember the exact tweet, but everything I said was factually correct. Someone screen grabbed it and posted it to Facebook, and then Lead Stories said it was fake. This tweet is false information. And so I looked up, I saw the tag on my tweet screenshotted. I didn't post it. And then it said false information. Here's why. And I clicked it, went to their story, which confirmed every single thing in my tweet was correct. When I called the guy from the company, he was irate and yelling, and he was like, I refuse to change it. And his argument was basically that the way it was phrased in the tweet could give the wrong impression. And I said, the impression is irrelevant when my facts are all correct. What someone assumes based on reading the tweet is irrelevant. I didn't say what you're accusing me of saying. I guess he was accusing me of saying something like Bill Clinton went to Epstein Island or something, which I didn't say. I can't remember exactly what the tweet was. And then instead of taking down the fake fact check, he left it up, but put, you know, like partially incorrect or something like that. So they can take a fact and then call it fake news and false information and then explain on their end that, well, it is technically true, but we just want to provide clarification. So now when you get hit on Facebook and Facebook strips you of monetization, That's the end result.
Well, and what they do is their favorite is the context. You know, oh, you don't have enough context. Well, by that definition, the entire freaking world doesn't have enough context. Encyclopedia Britannica doesn't have enough context because, oh, you didn't include this book full of information about Afghanistan or those 27 books about, you know, pick your topic, calculus. Oh, well, there's not enough information in calculus in there, so you need to add more context. We got hit by PolitiFact for rerunning a CDC chart. Okay, so not doing anything controversial here. We reran a CDC chart, linked to a story about it, and that story linked back to the CDC. PolitiFact gave us a fact check and gave us sort of like the trifecta of fact checks. They said, okay, well, we lack context, but then they called it partly false, but then they put a big, you know, huge red capital letters false on our chart. And so we challenged it. They, of course, ignored it. So what we did, we got more than 40 conservative organizations together and sent an obnoxious letter to the International Fact Checking Network and said, you got to pull their card. They are not fair. The Media Research Center has tracked more than 50 examples since 2019 where they've been out of control.
Yeah.
And we didn't really think they would do it. But so now that's got to be the narrative. Every time PolitiFact does another lousy fact check, people are going to go, more than 40 organizations said this organization should lose its fact checking ability.
Do you see when they, I can't remember which organization it was, they flagged the CDC itself as false news?
Yeah.
So on Facebook, a link to the CDC, it was an article from the CDC where they said that they were changing, they were encouraging new testing for COVID. And so these Facebook fact checkers flagged CDC.gov as fake news. And you know what the funny thing is? So there's people you can reach out to at Facebook if you're one of the better men and the privileged elites like we all are here. I'm kidding in a sense. Like, but the reality is in this world, if you have a show and you have followers, then all of a sudden there's someone to talk to at Facebook. But the regular people, they're kicked to the gutter. So I know I have the contact emails. I have the connections. And they said, when you get fact checked on Facebook, it's not us, it's those third party companies. And I argued Facebook has given special privileged access that is not public accommodation to these people. So you're effectively outsourcing Facebook's role in fact checking to third parties. I would argue that is still Facebook's responsibility for defamation. If Facebook is going to, if there is going to be a box that says fake information over my post, and that is not true, as a statement of fact saying what I put was false information, then I think Facebook and that company are responsible. Facebook said, screw you, it's them, do something about it. So you effectively have to just go after these fact checkers and sue them for defamation. And the reality is, if they called a CDC chart fake, false information, that's not an opinion, that's a statement of fact, you gotta sue. You gotta sue for defamation.
Well, and of course, you know, these organizations, who pays them? Facebook. Yeah, they get money from Facebook. That's one of the, so you were,
well, then it's clear cut. Go for Facebook.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned lead stories. So we did a big piece on lead stories, I guess, probably 2019. My whole sense of timing is screwed up because of COVID. It's like, seems like 30 years in the last year and a half, but, we did it and we slammed them. They denied everything we did, you know, we said about them, but then right after they launched their red and blue feed to show that they were fact checking both sides. But here's the game that it's not just them, but that Facebook and all the companies play. When they fact check somebody on the right, it's, you know, it goes, gets scattered all over Facebook and attached to everything that anybody posts about that. But if they do it for somebody left, it doesn't do that. So if they fact check, you know, some micro organization or Occupy Democrats saying something stupid because they're idiots, you know, if they fact check them, well, then they won't say, oh, by the way, they were actually citing something that CNN did. They're not going to then attach that fact check to CNN. It just drops there. Yeah. And so that's the way. So what they've set it up is it deliberately hurts conservative organizations and anybody who disagrees with the status quo, which I'm pretty sure is the people in this room.
Yep.
I would say so.
It's a broken system. I don't know what else to say. We've been dealing with it for a long time, and I guess the challenge is it just shows how dark things are continually getting, that we even move beyond this knowing it's happening and nothing's changed. That we're now at a period where we can't have discussions about the science. They tell us, trust the science, and I'm like, okay, well, a bunch of scientists just came out. Not those scientists. I'm like, well, who am I supposed to trust then? And why? Dr. Fauci. But Fauci has been wrong every other day. Yeah, well, trust him. But what about those doctors over there? Nope. All right, I guess.
What about when Fauci outright, you know, got called out for, moving the goalposts, which in civilized society we call lying through his teeth. But when he did that, or when he lied about masking, what about when Sanjay Gupta, this is actually one of my favorite little elements from COVID, when, you know, early March 2019, when Sanjay, or 2020, I mean, when Sanjay Gupta had a town hall at CNN, where they had about 60-some people packed, you know, shoulder to shoulder in the audience, not wearing masks, when Gupta comes out and says on air that masking is dangerous.
Hmm. Now, Gupta said that?
Yeah. Then, suddenly they decide that later on masking is good. Now, I'm okay with them doing that if they keep saying, by the way, you know, I said this dumb thing before and keep putting it out there. But what happens is all this stuff gets memory holed. Every time Fauci does something or Gupta does something or any of these people, they say something that's wrong or, you know, later on proven wrong. There's no accountability for them. There's only accountability for us.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how dark things are actually getting. So let's step into this one from CNBC. Congressional panel investigating January 6th insurrection demands records from Facebook, Twitter, and other tech firms. So here we go. You may have heard that the January 6th committee submitted a letter to all these different government agencies demanding information on basically everybody in the Trump government, as well as a large number of activists who were just, I mean, Scott Pressler is the most pressing example. He's a guy who registers Republicans to vote and he cleans up garbage. Mm. And they said they wanted every communication from the government to him going back to April 1st of 2020 into January 20th of 2021. This guy has nothing to do with any of it. And my understanding, he wasn't even in D.C. on January 6th. But this is their overreach, and now it's coming to the big tech firms, which is what we expected. When we had Jack Posobiec here, who was on this list, you know, the general idea we were talking about is they'll eventually take it from the government to social media companies. Now, all of these big tech firms who we know are biased are going to start going after Trump supporters and activists. I'm willing to bet if you're like some mid-level Trump supporter, your communications, your DMs will probably get leaked. Because they're going to demand it. And why would Facebook, Twitter, or Google say no? They're going to be like, well, you know, it's very important. We help out. Here you go.
Well, look at how the government tax forms for all these rich people got leaked all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
Biden is talking about going after rich people with his tax efforts. Oh, and also talking about throwing tons of money at the IRS. Magically, ProPublica gets a dump of the tax records for a lot of famous rich people and then starts writing about it. Now, you know, it's, remember we weren't supposed to talk about the deep state. Oh, deep state doesn't exist until a guy from the New York Times writes a book and says the deep state yep. exists. And it's a good
thing. Yeah,
it's a good
thing
because it's on our side, you know?
Let me read a little bit from here. We got this from CNBC. They say the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Said Friday it's demanding a trove of records from 15 social media companies, including Facebook, Twitter, Google, and a slew of pro-Trump platforms. The request for records stretching back to the spring of 2020 are related to the spread of misinformation, efforts to overturn the 2020 election or prevent the certification of the results, domestic violent extremism, and foreign influence in the 2020 election, the committee said in a press release. They're also looking into policy changes that the social media companies adopted or failed to adopt regarding the spread of violent extremism, misinformation, and foreign malign influence. That includes decisions on banning material from platforms and contacts with law enforcement and other government entities, the press release said. The committee's latest requests further underscore the role of social media on the Capitol attack, blah, 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 blah. They blamed Parler, but it was actually Facebook where people were getting together and scheduling and planning for for January 6th. So, the coordination and collusion, I think, is obvious. And now, what's the chances that these companies just turn over all this data and everyone who is anti-establishment all of a sudden has the worst possible things they've ever said taken out of context? Plastered all over the internet, every story possible. And then what happens next after that is the financial institutions start saying, geez, these stories, yep, got to ban them.
Well, financial institutions already are doing some of that. They did it to, I was going to say, one of the Republican Senate candidates in Delaware. Oh, okay, we're not going to allow you. We're going to shut down your bank account. We're going to, you know, you got PayPal doing the same thing, all these companies. But yes, that's an enormous, insane, Stasi-like you know, overreach of government into basically the lives of absolutely everybody.
Yeah, this
you know,
is,
and you're right. It's not just, but it's not just the they could leak. Oh, you know, you're having an affair on your wife. Somebody's having, you know. Oh, you sent a dirty joke. You anything they want, they can use against you with that. And unfortunately, we all, and I certainly fall into this category. We've all spent years posting absolutely everything on social media. And beyond that, they also know who your friends are.
Yeah.
So even if you've not done anything wrong, they can go after your family members. Oh, hey, you know, you're 50 years old. You got kids who are in their 20s. Oh, you've never even gone speeding, but your kids. Oh, well, they've done something wrong. So, hey, we're going after the kids now. That's just the most broad insanity thing I've ever heard government do.
It's very clear the path that we're on, where we're going. And at a certain point, I'm kind of just like, I don't know, what do we do? Do we just, you know, kick back, put your feet up, and wait for the tsunami to crash over?
In public, but you got to be super subtle about how you change the system quietly.
Like how?
Like by building technology that makes it so.
Building culture?
Yeah, like Fediverse projects, things that can't be censored or that aren't censored by nature, things that are decentralized, stuff like that. You know, the cryptography and cryptocurrency.
That's
is
why
huge.
they hate crypto so much. They freak out about it because that really does, you know, put a
well, they can monitor. They can't monitor where your money goes.
No, they can.
But I mean, depending
on which one you use. If you use like Monero or Zcash, but Bitcoin is fully public,
right?
And they can easily track all of it.
But I mean, this follows choke point. You know, when choke point went after the, you know, the, I guess what, the gun companies and other stuff, and went after drugs. You can't carry more than $10,000 of cash on you because, oh, you might be making a drug deal. Then when they found out people were carrying nine, they cut it back to eight because they don't want you to, you know, it's like, we don't want you carrying cash because you might actually buy something we don't approve of. And so now if we catch you with $8,001 in your car, we can take it all.
Yep. Civil asset forfeiture. They just steal your money. And you don't get it back.
Amazing.
Yeah. I wonder how that would play out if you're like running like a burger shop and you have like your daily cash from the tills. You're going to the bank with it and they're like, that's a bank
envelope. They stop you outside the bank and they're like, you're going to go buy drugs with it. You're like, I'm about to deposit it. They're like, no.
And you're like, you're holding the deposit thing open. Dude, we are living in the nightmare dystopia and it's only getting worse every day. And the only I guess when you're a frog in a pot and the pot starts slowly coming to a boil, people just don't know and don't care. But I people need to stop and just think about a few things. What is it shocking to you if I told you that you have a serial number registered with the government for your person?
Not for me.
Nothing. I mean, my level of shock is kind of gone up a lot, you know, like what it takes to shock. I think if I went home and I found police cars surrounding my home, I'd probably be surprised by
like,
that. I don't even think that reaches shock.
Isn't it a crazy idea when you realize that like every single person in the U.S. is serialized with a specific number that identifies you?
Every citizen, yeah.
It's like something I remember I'd grow up and I'd see like movies where people would get numbers and stuff like that and how wrong and bad it was. And then it's like, but we've been doing this since what is it, like 1916 or something? Social Security numbers? Yeah.
Since FDR era.
So when was that?
30s.
30s?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to do anything in this country, you know, almost anything, you need a social security number. You need to be registered with the government. Now you've got New York City saying you need a photo ID state issued in order to get access to any of these buildings.
It's weird. Like,
you go to the restaurant. Hey, I want to get carry out. Sorry, you can't come in.
No, carry out's okay.
No, but if you can't come in the building,
no, you
can't. Unless you show your ID.
No. The law exempts carry out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. Apparently, if you have COVID, but you're only going to be in for carry out, you can't cough on people or something.
Wow.
Also, I learned something really interesting is that when you first walk in, you're wearing the mask because COVID sits high. But when you sit down, you're underneath it. I'm kidding, by the way. I have no idea why
it
that policy
like
is. It's like you walk into a restaurant. I was talking to a restaurant on the phone, and I was like, you know, they were like, oh, you've got to wear masks regardless of vaccination status. And I was like, okay. And I was like, but then when I sit down, I can take it off. And they're like, yes. And I was like, does that make sense? And the guy was like, I don't know. They just make me do it. And I'm like, yo, that's ridiculous, dude. Like, whatever, man. People just follow along. They march along with all this stuff.
Well, I mean, you look at Australia right now. It's not march along, but I mean, they're all locked in their homes again. I mean, I've lost track. I saw somebody post a chart of how many lockdowns Australia's had since COVID.
They're going on the 8th, I think.
Really? Yeah.
Seventh or eighth, yeah.
Oh, wow. YouTube's mad at us right now.
Yeah, they're giving us trouble.
Yeah. Wow. So I'm checking the feed and I'm seeing it keeps cutting out.
Yeah.
We've got full internet. We've got our internet's
what spicy perfect. Things are we talking about?
Might be us. Yep. I think Ben and Andreas were going to work on the internet today. So there was some issues.
No, I'm looking at the connection. We're solid.
Interesting.
We have a solid high speed connection right now.
Mm. Yeah. We all start singing Avenue Q. For, you know, maybe they'd be happy if we talk about that. Talk about porn.
You know, I just want to. I do. There is something that needs to be said, though. It needs to be said, Ian. Okay, people need to hear this.
Oh, here we go.
Mark Zuckerberg is such a good guy.
I love
he's
him.
Just, yeah. He's so fun. You know? And Jack Dorsey.
Good haircut. I like
what a good guy. Well, actually. Oh,
when he grows his beer out.
Jack Dorsey did tweet out Rothbard, so I guess I'll give him some credit.
Dorsey's red pill. That dude's legit. He's just co-opted by the corporation now.
Dorsey's also now he moved in from the I've got the crazy like 400 mile beard into I'm now dating supermodels. No. So he is going through a little bit of a phase.
Midlife crisis. Yeah.
He got all the career stuff out of the way.
He's a figurehead for Twitter. You know, he left the company. He's doing Square. Square's doing really well. And then they brought him back because they needed someone to take responsibility, I guess. So I don't even know why he does it. It doesn't make sense to me. The dude's he's a billionaire. Like, what is he worried about?
I get that he's maybe feels like just by still having a tether with it, he can still kind of keep it from going totally insane. But when a company buys you out, man, that's their company now. It's not his company anymore. So
it's like a skin suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, look, actions speak louder than words. I suppose. Did you see when Jack Dorsey tweeted out Rothbard, the anatomy of the state? Like all the libertarians and ANCAPs were like, they're like high fiving each other, and they're like, yeah. Actually, they're probably freaking out. Like our friend Luke was like, "What's happening?
What's going on?"
Jack Dorsey's no.
But I think some of this is. A lot of what we see now on social media from famous people is them just screwing with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think because they know that it changes the narrative and everybody talks about them again.
That's what true. He does on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's what Tim does. It just screws with people.
Oh,
with,
I love
with social
it.
Media. Yeah. It's like the Andy Kaufman.
But to be fair, I'm just
following orders.
Michael Malice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Michael Malice is a pro.
I tweeted Joe Biden is the greatest president of this or any generation. And then I waited a few minutes, and then I replied, "Why aren't you retweeting this?" And it got like 1,000 retweets or something. It got like 2,000 replies. But the funny thing is, like, I'll tell you exactly why I did a tweet like that. Because you have establishment left activists, and how do they respond to that tweet? I said something very, very complimentary to Joe Biden, but the implication is it's sarcasm. So the interesting thing is that establishment Democrat type activists completely ignore tweets like that.
Hmm.
And that I do that it kind of proves a point. You know, there was when I was tweeting about vaccine mandates being wrong, I get all of these establishment Democrat activists being like, "You're crazy, you're wrong, there will be medical exemptions, everyone's got to pitch in." And then when I called all of these restaurants and I called New York City and they said no medical exemptions, period. I tweeted that out. All the same activists were nowhere in sight. No longer replying, no longer arguing. They could have replied with like, "Wow, I didn't see that coming." In fact, I sent messages to Cameron Caskey, the Parkland activist, because we had interacted on the idea of medical exemptions. We were talking, I tweeted about Google mandating vaccines and said, "I wonder how many people are going to quit their jobs or lose their jobs." And he said, he responded, "There's about to be a lot of openings for people who aren't stupid." And then I was like, "Some people have medical issues, bro." And he's like, "Well, there will be exemptions." So when this thing with New York happened, in good faith, I was like, "Hey, just wanted you to see this because I know we had interacted on it." No response.
Hmm.
Because these people aren't acting in good faith. If I come out and say something like, you know, "Joe Biden should do X," and then someone argues with me, and then Joe Biden goes and does X, I'll be like, "Well, you know, I gotta eat my words. Joe Biden just did it." But you don't see that from most tribalists. Well,
and you look at what's happening imminently to the military now. Hmm. We've got hundreds of thousands of people in the military who are not vaccinated. And we're going around celebrating our heroes in Afghanistan. And, you know, the left and the right are both like, "Oh my God, you know, we love the military." But then we're going to turn around in a week or two, and a whole bunch of those people are going to, what, be called up on charges, court-martialed, or get some sort of, you know, pushed out of the military at a time when our military probably can't afford it. And all these people who said they were great, just like they said the frontline healthcare workers, oh my God, we love the nurses and the doctors going out risking their lives. Oh wait, they're not getting the vaccine. That's it for them. And they literally throw them out of a moving car. Mm. And so, you know, it's the inconsistency. The person who doesn't get the vaccine and chose for whatever reason doesn't get the vaccine, if they're out there risking their life for their country or saving lives and as a healthcare worker, they're still the same darn person mm-hmm. that was doing that.
So I want to show this here, anatomy of the state. So most of you, maybe if you missed it, we're just mentioning how Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, ever woke, tweeted out Murray Rothbard, anatomy of the state. Libertarians and anarcho-capitalists were all hooting and hollering and freaking out. And on page 6, which is, you know, the opening of Anatomy of the State, which Jack Dorsey himself posted, the greatest danger to the state is independent intellectual criticism. My, oh my. Fine. It's very interesting that Jack Dorsey would tweet something like that out, considering Twitter actively tries to suppress intellectual criticism of the state. Maybe Jack, he's like, he's actually locked in a basement and he's like, you know, and they run everything and he broke out and he's all gaunt and frail and like they're coming to bring his food and the door opens and they're like, here's your food, Dorsey. And then he shoves the guy out of the way and he runs to the computer and he hits control C, control V, and enemies say enter. And they're like, no. And they grab him and they're dragging him back and he's like, no, freedom.
And you can like see the Matrix as he's being pulled back.
And they throw him back in the room. Don't you ever pull something like that again. And then, you know, the other Twitter execs run in like, what did Dorsey do? He escaped from his cell and he tweeted out Rothbard. And then they were like, oh, can we delete it? No.
The next time he testifies in front of Congress, we'll have to watch as he blinks to see if he blinks SOS or something like that.
He's got like a brain chip. It's like a thing on his temple and it like shorts out for a second and he's like, I can think again. And he goes to the computer and he sends it and then they're like, oh, guys, you got to reboot Dorsey's mind control chip. Pew, and he goes,
what if you like the V chip from South Park?
Yeah. Yeah. So, of all of the people, you know, but I'll say this. When it comes to Jack Dorsey, I talked to him, you know, before the Rogan podcast and he was talking about blockchain and I think he's really naive. I think he doesn't know what he's talking about. I think he's, to be completely honest, nice guy, a bit duplicitous. Right place and right time. Twitter is not particularly complicated. He said, we discovered Twitter. We didn't invent Twitter, things like that. And when I was talking to him, before we did the Rogan podcast, like literally like minutes before, he was saying how he really wanted blockchain based social media. And he was like, that way, once it's like there forever. And I'm like, that sounds horrible. That sounds like the worst idea ever. Like imagine you're 15, you know, and you're like, I'm going to post a picture of my ass because I'm edgy and I got 10 followers and I don't care. And then you're 30 and you're like, you know, I got 50,000 followers now and you're a sports commentator. And then they're like, couldn't help but notice in your immutable ledger, you have a picture of your ass. It's like, I know I can't get, it's in the blockchain. What am I supposed to do about it? It's there forever.
In theory, what that should mean is that we all kind of get the get out of jail free for doing dumb stuff. But what in practice it means is if you did dumb stuff that the elite don't approve of, you know, you can get canceled at absolutely any point in time in your life. But if they are okay with the dumb stuff, you know, you were part of, you know, an Antifa, attack or something. Oh yeah, that's fine. We don't care. That's fine. You get a nice Reuters article.
You were once a noble activist fighting for justice. Tell me how that went. Well, I threw a bunch of bottles at people, and then we went around smashing things. Oh, wow.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds like you've accomplished a lot in your life. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was hard, but we burned down some bars. That's basically the history of these people when they're older. There's a video that went viral of a journalist who is trying to cover what's going on in Portland, and this Antifa gets in her face and says that, like, you are endangering people by spreading COVID, which is, like, the craziest thing for Antifa, I guess, to say. They're pro-state, whatever. And then they physically attack her, throw her to the ground, spray with paint and mace or whatever. These people, they're effectively, the brown shirts, you know, they're enforcing state edict or whatever. They march around these cities doing literally nothing. believing CNN and thinking they oppose the state when they're doing everything the state would want them to do.
Yeah, I mean, the brown shirts entirely, they say, oh, we're the original anti-fascists. And they, you know, post images. You'll see idiots like people at CNN posting images of, you know, D-Day landing and like, oh, you know, anti-fascists, and then comparing them, Chris Cuomo, you know, to Antifa. And I'm like, no, these are the worst of the gutter trash who go attack ordinary people on the street and try to bully people just because they think or say different things. Mm-hmm. I don't support anybody doing that. I don't care what ideology you've got. If you're going and just walking up to people and attacking them on the street, you're in the wrong. I think that's a, historically speaking, we've proven that.
Do you see when they were attacking people who were protesting COVID restrictions? I'm like, isn't that weird? The state comes out and makes like Bill de Blasio decrees something that's like not even a law. It's a decree from an executor. And they're like, we're going to defend that. And so you come out and be like, there was actually an event happened in D.C. where a bunch of conservatives came down to protest corporate censorship. And Antifa showed up calling them fascists and started attacking people. And I'm like, yo, are they pro-corporation? Is like Antifa pro? Oh, dude, they're fascists.
Yeah, they're pro-censorship. And the whole left is, including the major media.
Well, check this out. Antifa. I used to say this wasn't the case. I used to say Antifa is not fascist because they do not agree with like traditional values or nationalism. But based on Mussolini's definition of the corporation and the state, the merger, Antifa are legitimately fascists. They support corporate censorship. They have beaten people in defense of corporations, and they've beaten people in defense of the state. It is absolutely insane to see that. And this is the game they play. It's like with Ibram Kendi and Critical Race Applied Principles. He calls himself anti-racist. And then when we had Papa John on the show, he kept calling himself anti-racist. And I told him, like, anti-racist means you support discrimination based on race. And he didn't get it. And he kept saying anti-racist. And I'm like, when people want to use it against you, they will. Ibram Kendi supports discrimination based on race. Critical race theory supports discrimination based on race. And they call that anti-racism because it's a word game to manipulate people who don't pay attention.
Right. It's
Antifa,
racism.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We've gone full circle where now the very people who go around saying, oh, you can't be racist, are then going around saying racist stuff. You can get shut down on Twitter or social media for saying anything racist in some groups, but not against others. And it's the game. Look at the anti-Semitism you see on these sites is just off the charts. And you see it not just on social media, but on, you know, in schools and colleges, universities. These Jewish students everywhere are now a target when they go to college. That's the exact kind of thing that we look back at history books and say, gee, that was awful when it happened in the 1930s. Why are we allowing it to happen here in this era?
Yeah.
I love, I'm just reading, you know, I have the Anatomy of the State pulled up, and just for Jack Dorsey to tweet something referring to the state as parasitic and sapping production and stuff like that, I'm like, wow. Maybe he should apply those principles to the companies that he runs. You know, maybe things would get a little bit better. But I hate to say it. It just seems like things are getting worse and worse. And even with what's going on in Afghanistan and everyone kind of turning their back on Biden, it's not in any way to imply that things will improve.
No, I mean, I think, I thought we shouldn't be in Afghanistan anywhere near the length of time we were. I mean, if you follow anything about history, we changed the mission. Our military is really good at going and kicking somebody's ass. Just is. You know? But they're not good at forcing you to come into the 21st century and embrace Western values. It's an unfair ask of anybody. And so they went from being war fighters to prison guards and social workers. And that's just, you know, I don't care whether you're carrying the AK-47 or M16 or whatever you're carrying. If you're trying to convince somebody to join the 21st century when he can't even read, that's just the wrong mission.
That's why it's a 100-year mission. You have to raise several generations and instill in them like a norm. But to go into a country where there's all like, you know, we're there for 20 years, if you went to the American people and said we want to be here for 100 years to colonize and reclaim, people would be like, get out of here. They would not support that.
Well, it's also geographically really difficult. Afghanistan is a landlocked nation. We're the world's greatest navy. Okay, that's just bad dynamics. I mean, if you're going to do it, and it didn't work well when we did it in Vietnam. I mean, so because you have to look. It's just like when you go buy a house. I drive out here and get to the wonderful compound, see the nice area. When you buy a house, you buy a neighborhood. Well, Afghanistan's in a really bad neighborhood. It's got Pakistan next door, and they're run by Looney Tunes people. It's got China next door. They're even worse. Russia's nearby. You know, I mean, it is.
Iran is next
door. Yeah, it's a mess. And it's exactly the same problem Vietnam had. When you've got China, a nation now of 1.3 billion people nearby, and you're another nation trying to end up with a sane destiny, it doesn't matter whether you're Taiwan or Afghanistan, you're going to have trouble.
Yeah. Well, how about we take a look at what's going on over in Afghanistan? We have this story. It's pretty interesting. Tucker Carlson questions if Biden admin botched Afghanistan withdrawal on purpose. And we got some more stories to potentially back up the claim that Joe Biden screwed up Afghanistan on purpose. Tucker Carlson pondered whether or not the administration deliberately botched the Afghan withdrawal during his show Thursday evening. Carlson's guest, Glenn Greenwald, was discussing how there are elements in the political establishment that would like us to remain in Afghanistan. The conversation led to the host questioning if there was a possibility there was an interest in screwing up to justify future engagement. Quote, I never want to be a conspiracy nut at all, but I mean, everything you said is true so far. So is it worth at least wondering? This is such an obvious screw up. You and I have no experience running a military or logistics withdrawal. I can't even organize my garage, but even you and I would probably do a better job of withdrawing than these guys. It was just like, it was comically bad. Is it possible they had an interest in making it bad to justify future engagement, or is that too much to even speculate about? Well, I give you the story from the Daily Mail. Glenn Beck claims U.S. State Department and Biden's White House are blocking his efforts to rescue Afghan Christians from the Taliban who want to set them on fire. Why would they tell someone with the capability of helping in the evacuation not to? Why would they block that? Unless they want the chaos so they can justify remaining.
Well, I think there's some legitimate reasons and some illegitimate reasons. I mean, the illegitimate reason, they don't want to be shown up. Yeah, they don't. Our troops are have not been allowed to leave the airport area to go rescue Americans elsewhere in Kabul, much less the rest of Afghanistan. But, you know, if you flip it around, if you're trying not to have a confrontation with the Taliban and trying to get everybody out, and you've got random elements out there who, let's just say, are more cowboy-esque and willing to fight if they've got to, well, then government's going to then the Taliban's going to see that as engagement across the board, and then our troops are fighting. So I can see that, but what I can't see is when the State Department rejects, when you get people to the airport and the State Department says, sorry, you can't come in.
Yeah.
Now that our State Department is not requiring all the paperwork for everybody gets there that they're getting out. So then you look it more. It looks more like, hey, you showed us up. You made us look bad.
Let me make a better point. In the morning of the attacks, the U.S. and the U.K. warned their citizens to stay away. The Marines who lost their lives were also briefed that there was potentially going to be an attack. They were still told to process Afghan allies. Something doesn't add up here. Think about this in full context. You've got Marines at the gates checking IDs for Afghan allies to bring them in. The U.S. says someone is going to try to attack us. American citizens stay away, but we'll still board Afghan allies. So they tell the Americans, no, you can't come right now because it's a threat. These people are welcome to get on the plane, and many of them did.
They're not; they weren't worth as much.
But something doesn't make sense. This to me is well beyond a mistake.
For all I know, the U.S. government could have planted the freaking bombs and lied about it. It's dude, we're in conspiracy world. What the heck's going on?
We're not in conspiracy world. We're talking about a fact that they issued a warning saying Americans stay away. They told the Americans not to come, and then told the Marines to keep processing the Afghan citizens. And then a bomb went off, killing Marines and Afghan citizens. And the reason why there weren't Americans there is because they were told not to be there.
But 13 Americans died.
U.S. Marines who are still down there checking IDs at the airport. Why weren't they pulled from the checkpoints?
Well,
why didn't they say, if we can't get Americans out, we ain't getting anybody out, and we're not going to risk the lives of our troops? No, they said, stay at your post. Someone's going to attack us. We won't let those Americans die, but you're cannon fodder. That's just what they did. There it is. I can't imagine that it was an accident.
No, immediately after it happened, you get Biden come out and say, we're going to go after whoever did this at a time of our choosing, at a place of our, basically saying, just so you all know, this is a green light for us to reinvade or to reattack.
We're going to hunt the next them day. Down.
So and they're also talking about blowing up all the vehicles and aircraft that we left. So, you know, you talk about, ongoing relations with the Taliban. But by the way, hey, you know, those jets are flying over your country, blowing up your stuff. You know, they're ours.
Yeah.
You know, we made it clear we're not getting everybody out. You know, we know we're not getting everybody out. So then what happens the first time? Because the Taliban is not a top-down organization. It's not, you know, it's not like the U.S. military where when the president gives an order, you expect a private somewhere 7,000 miles away to do exactly what the president ordered. So let's say the first time Taliban not just chops off the head of an American, but live casts it somewhere, you know, spreads the video on the internet. What are we going to do about it? I mean, this is going to be an ongoing thing. How many hundreds or thousands of Americans and then also American allies and all are going to be left there? And, you know, it's, so, I mean, whether you like it or not, it's certainly been botched. You're right. I mean, we could have gotten the D&D group from downstairs. We could have planned a better exit using miniatures. And
I just want to stress this point that needs to be said because it needs to be questioned in there needs to be a hearing. This needs to be brought up. If they said there is an imminent attack and Americans should stay away, but then told the Marines to keep working to process non-citizens for transport, something doesn't make sense.
I think they were taking a risk. Like they knew there was a probable attack. But you can't shut down just based
enough
on
enough to not evacuate American citizens. Yeah. Enough to say we will leave Americans behind enemy lines. Something doesn't make sense. If what is Joe Biden? Look, we're hearing wild estimates. Some say 1,000 to 2,000 Americans still in Afghanistan. Some say 35,000 to 50,000. Who knows? Yeah, that's some people have. I don't know if that's true or not. NBC reported 15,000. Then there was AP reporting 4,400 evacuated. So let's say maybe 10,000. We don't know. And when the Biden administration's asked, they won't say. So we don't know, but it was enough to say Americans should not come for evacuation, but not enough to say Marines should stop processing.
You know, I mean, you could argue that they're trying to clear the crowd around, you know, around the area so we can get Americans out. But the problem is the crowd doesn't dissipate.
It's millions of people.
Well, I was going to say, as soon as you clear out people who are around the airport, more people come.
Right.
Because a whole bunch of people, particularly in Kabul, want to get out. You know, if you're a woman, why, I mean, and you have some opportunity to get out, why would you want to stay in the, you know, 7th century lunatic asylum where you're going to be sex slave and, you know, that's just your entire future. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to be out of the burqa. You're not going to be able to educate. You're not going to be able to educate your kids.
The kids will be taken and basically put into military training.
Yeah. Why would you want to stay? So I understand why people want to get out, but, yeah, it's like they said, well, we've planned out every eventuality. Clearly, they did not.
That's a lie. Unless they did, and this is what they want. Because, I mean, take it to its logical conclusion. If they did plan every contingency, oh, wow, so this is on purpose?
Well, so why did we close Bagram Air Base? I mean, that's really the big question. You don't have to say we would take the whole, you know, exit plan to Bagram, but why do we close the base that's isolated and safe and you don't have really high buildings around where snipers could, you know, shoot at you and stuff like that?
Something's wrong. This is, you know, part of me wants to believe that Biden fell asleep during a meeting and Kamala and Milley and the other, you know, members of his administration were just kind of like, so early lunch and then got up and walked out. Like, we don't care. That's on him, not us. He's the one who's going to, you know, be attacked in the media. Who's going to blame us, huh?
Well, it turns out a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I mean, and not
just... Buck stops with Biden, and he's getting the most of the heat.
Right, but it's not just... And to be fair, it's not just one party. It's not just one group of generals. This is 20 years of everybody owns this. And, you know, we've left 600,000 rifles. 600,000 rifles in there. Thousands of vehicles. Couple hundred aircraft. We left $85 billion worth of hardware. And I'm sorry, I find it hard to believe that that's entirely accidental. That
you ever, you know, you ever see Idiocracy?
Oh, love Idiocracy.
Mike Judge, man. You see,
oh, yeah. I just saw it a week ago.
Yeah, we were watching it. It was funny.
It's a documentary.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, so, you know, I think about how, Mike Judge took this concept of like, if nature just, rewards those who reproduce the most, what would happen? And I'm like, let's imagine a future based on American foreign policy in the Middle East and what it leads to. So you've got, you know, ISIS. You've got the supporting of this, of Syrian rebels and arms dealing, not to mention Fast and Furious with the cartels. And you could make an Idiocracy where it's like, after hundreds of years of the U.S. going into foreign countries for intervention, losing and then leaving behind hundreds of millions of dollars in supplies, the world ends up with like massive armed factions with like American level technology in all these different parts of the globe, all going to war and just blowing each other up. You end up with like just 50 different ISISs, ISIS A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, and they're all in different regions, all with Black Hawks and F-15s, bazookas, and hundreds of thousands of rifles.
Be a good video game.
The year is 2130. America just pulled out of its 87th attempt. Here you go. Ugh.
Like, why didn't they decommission the planes? Why didn't they melt them down with thermite or
something? Well, because we left all this stuff for the Afghan Army. I have to lift my other arm so I can do air quotes for Afghan Army. I don't really blame the Afghan, you know, the soldiers. They lost 50,000 guys in 20 years fighting against the crazy Taliban. But their leaders were corrupt. Their leaders were, you know, were evil. We weren't allowed to stop that. The fact that it fell apart so fast because they tried to create a modern army for people who were not ready for it.
Yeah, and Kurt Schlichter explained this, was saying that we built a modern American-style army with massive amounts of logistics, which is like the backbone of any our army. It was massive logistics. And then we removed the logistics from the
Army. When Biden pulled and said, you know, we're pulling out, he wouldn't allow the contractors back in. Well, the contractors were maintaining the Air Force.
Yeah.
But they had a land-based army that was counting on air support. And you know, of course, that they realized, hey, you guys built the wrong army. You left us out hanging out to dry. We built like some Pentagon fantasy army.
You ever play Command and Conquer?
Yeah.
They should have built Tesla coils all over.
There's still time.
this is really the OG gaming night.
Great.
Man. We're whipping out Command and Conquer, man.
That's no joke.
For those that aren't familiar with the reference, and Command and Conquer is like an isometric strategy game where you collect resources, Tiberium, and then
similar to StarCraft.
Yeah. So there's something you can build. I think Tesla coils are not right. They're like the bad
guys.
Is that Red Alert? Did not have Tesla coils? Or is that only the second one in Red Alert?
I think that's Red Alert.
When the Soviets
okay, Red Alert. Right. Yeah. Soviets. So, awesome game, by the way.
Dude, so groundbreaking.
So you build towers, and they're Tesla coils, and when anyone gets close, it just zaps them with a bolt of lightning and just...
That was how I learned about the word Tesla. I didn't know what... I never even heard the name before. That's how buried that guy was.
We were talking about... We got weeds, okay? We got, like, weeds. They're growing everywhere. And we used to have this really nice, like, trim around the porch of wood chips. And the weeds started growing and just nobody really paid attention. Within, like, a month, it's just a jungle, right?
Thicket.
So I got a weed whacker. But the weeds are too overgrown. The whacker broke. So I was like, what do we do? I'm like, we have these throwing axes. I'm like, what if we bolt a throwing axe to the weed whacker? And then everyone's like, that's a really, really bad idea.
Yeah.
This is going to eject a hatchet, you know.
You're standing next to it.
Yeah.
Hold on. And so I said, what if we took the magnetron out of a microwave, attached it to the end of a 2x4, put a soup can on it to direct the microwaves, and then carried one of those high-power batteries we have in our backs and created a portable active denial system, and then we could point that, which would effectively boil the water in the weeds and kill them. And then I realized, whoa, we could build a portable active denial system. That's kind of crazy.
Cool.
Active denial system is a microwave weapon the military uses to make people feel like they're on fire. And I'm like, that's kind
of
crazy.
I'm sure your neighbors would just love to know that you built one of those.
We don't really have neighbors. I mean, kind of. You have to walk quite a bit for the most part. But I don't know what the law is on that. So we'll just not do it.
I think I would recommend at least while we're on YouTube right now saying that you're not planning on building this.
Well, we can plan on it, but we've got to look into the legality.
Hold on. There's videos on YouTube showing you how to do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when you put the soup can, or I think they might use a Pringles can, it's like depending on the frequency of the microwaves, it focuses it. And so this is really cool. They do these experiments where they will take a 2x4, put the magnetron on it, plug it in, and they'll point it at fluorescent lights and they'll light up. That's like, it's crazy, right? Like wireless energy.
Yeah, and this is a little, maybe not off topic, but a bigger picture. I can't.
Wait, what is on topic?
I can't stand the nanny state trying to like protect and control the mind, because it's this, we have access to the most dangerous and epic equipment at all times. We have open flame, for instance, fire. It's like,
yeah, you can get your own flamethrower.
And it's the,
those are illegal.
The opportunity,
in a lot of states.
The opportunity,
yeah, depending
humans,
on where you are though. That's
like for a human to experiment with dangerous technology is part of how we've developed and become what we are as a species. So to think that we could ever mute that for the safety of our species is, in my opinion, just is illogical.
So here's what I'll say. When I look at Afghanistan and this conventional warfare they do, I'm wondering why they aren't focused on non-conventional means. So I'll give you a gaming example for the gamers. And you're familiar with you played D&D. Did you play Magic the Gathering or anything?
Sorry, yeah.
You're familiar with in-game meta. Mm-hmm. So for those that aren't familiar, this means like if there is a style of play in a sport, let's say MMA. A lot of people know MMA. The MMA guys all learn very specific things because there's, you know, certain styles are more efficient, more effective in the long run. So people decide, I'm going to learn these, you know, certain martial arts for these circumstances. But then what happens is one day someone says, I'm going to do something totally unconventional that they're not expecting. And they throw something into the mix that may be risky, but these guys didn't train for. That upsets what's called the meta. So, you know, I when I think about this conventional warfare, like the Taliban, it's been 20 years. They know exactly what the U.S. has in terms of armaments. Why didn't the U.S. actually start implementing less conventional, like new technologies, new strategies, new methodologies? And it may be true. I mean, we know about active denial systems they've used in Afghanistan and Iraq, I believe. But there's a bunch of things they could have done. Laser-induced plasma channels. I joke about the Tesla coil, but laser-induced plasma channel technology has been around for some time now. They can literally point a machine at you that strikes you with lightning. There's a lot of things that with something like that and enough power to the system, you wouldn't need to aim. It would literally just be a big block, and if the enemy approached it, it would zap, 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 zap. Just,
yeah, but you're talking basically the Apocalypse Now solution, the Colonel Kurtz, you know, the guy who goes, you got, the U.S. government's fighting the war the wrong way in Vietnam, so I'm going to fight the right way and go native and, you know, do things differently. Well, I mean, that is part of the problem. We built a modern army.
I will stress too. I haven't gone over there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some dude who's like, this guy's an idiot.
Well, you can say this is, but we're just discussing, what you're talking about is simply breaking the rules. Much less now than I used to be, but football fan, NFL. I'm from Baltimore. Baltimore Ravens broke the rules. The NFL says, you're going to zig. Everybody went to the quarterbacks, going to throw long. And all the Ravens said, well, we're going to have the world's biggest rushing attack. Yeah. And they then, you know, that, I mean, so
low orbit ion cannons.
I was on the receiving end of that as a Browns fan.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's, and so if you try something for 20 years and the Taliban's still there,
well,
you would think
it's getting bigger and getting bigger.
My theory is that they didn't ever want to destroy the Taliban. They want to work with the Taliban. They always did. They knew they wanted to convince them to join. They realized that wasn't going to happen. No. Now they want to make them the government and ally with them from afar, basically. Well,
it was
focus
just
on ISIS-K.
It was justification for staying in the country.
Mm. Well, I was going to say, because, I mean, then you get into it is a legitimate question that journalists have not dug into is the military-industrial complex, and where did all the generals who were in Afghanistan go to work after they left, and how much money did they make, and how many of them were living in nice big houses now, and same for the politicians that then went to work for K Street. I mean, these are the questions that when you see articles, you know, in major media right now saying, oh, well, apparently all the soldiers in Afghanistan who were training the Afghan soldiers realize this was all going to fall apart, that what we were setting up was flawed from the very beginning. And then you look, okay, well, then why can't we dig into that? That's what journalists should be doing. That's a legitimate – I don't care whether you're left or right. I don't care who made the decision. I mean, like I said, 20 years, there's a lot of people on both sides who might be tied to this. That's what major media are for, to do that digging. But because to do that digging, you've got to also alienate the Washington inside the Beltway class. Because they don't want that kind of digging, because it's going to make them all look bad.
You know what I'm really upset by? I tweeted at Elon Musk, you know, maybe a year or so ago, why haven't you built an Iron Man suit yet? And he responded with, working on Starship. And then I said, that is an acceptable response. The reason I highlight that is that what do people do when they become wealthy and successful? Boats, women,
dumb stuff,
jewelry. It's like, how many people are actively doing crazy stuff like Elon Musk is? Very, very few. I bring that up, I don't want to derail too much, but when you look at what the U.S. does, it's 20 years of conventional warfare of the exact same thing we're doing. And I'm just wondering, where's the low orbit ion cannon? You know what I mean? Just like the, like selectively targeting. I get it. They have Hellfire missiles and they can very much still do that from the air. But I'm just saying, too many people think inside the box. They don't visualize outside of it. And because of this, we spend 20 years doing the same thing that's not working over and over and over again, putting our hand on the stove and going, ow, it burns, ow, it burns, ow. And we just don't stop. We never stop.
And unfortunately, unfortunately, then the whole world looks at that and says, we don't learn. And I know some military people who have been, you know, who are very worried about if the U.S. ends up in a confrontation, particularly in the Pacific, because the Pacific is a long reach for us. We don't have land bases like we do in Europe where we have lots of infrastructure and, you know, Germany and France and stuff like that.
Guam and Hawaii. And
but
Japan,
they're far Korea. Between and right. easier to target for, you know, for missiles.
Did you know that our Air Force was all centralized in one location? I think it was Guam. And then it was only recently that we just took all of our Air Force and spread it around the Pacific. Like, China could have just one-shotted our entire Air Force.
Jeez.
Some people are asleep at the wheel of this machine right now. This is freaking terrifying.
Dude, it's because we're the children of the children of the children of those who actually fought in the war. And so it's the, you know, wealth only lasts three generations. We did not look at Mark Milley. He's a politician and a bureaucrat. He's got all this decorated nonsense and he's like, white rage. And it's like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing or talking about. He's a politician. That's how he gets to that position. How many people have actually, you know, in leadership have actually gone into combat? I mean, Donald Trump wasn't politician or in the military. He was a businessman and he still had more people liking what he was doing. But you get someone like Joe Biden, who's a career bureaucrat and politician surrounded by career bureaucrats. They have no idea what's going on.
No.
No experience and no understanding of how to maintain and build a system like this.
Well, and what's worse is when you get a where we've reached now with government is government officials aren't even good at doing the one thing they should be good at, which is being government officials. FDR, for all of his flaws, when he was basically equivalent of a king, where he, you know, won presidency four times.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was in 42 or 43, somewhere out in Virginia, they established an operation to plan post-war, after we won, how to run Germany, Italy, and Japan. Now, think about that. When the war was still wildly in doubt, we're devoting efforts to already plan to, you know, what happens when we win. So, of course, when we won, we had plans. We had a bunch of people trained. We were somewhat ready for it. And then when you look, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, we weren't ready at all, and we had years and years. Our bureaucrats don't plan like that. So, I mean, the very thing you want government to be good at is big government. I mean, okay, if you're gonna be big government, do it well.
I think the simple solution may just be that the U.S. doesn't want the end of the Taliban. They wanted an excuse to maintain these positions. They didn't want an end to ISIS. You know, look, under Obama, ISIS grows and grows and grows. Under Trump, he just crushes them. And it's because, for one, ISIS was destabilizing Syria in a lot of ways. And that's what the U.S., I think, was hoping for. And it gives the U.S. a good excuse to go in and do whatever they want. But, oh, no, oh, geez, we have to go to war because of these bad, bad people. And it's like, yeah, the bad, bad people that you're responsible for. Look, we funded the Mujahideen. We supported them. And we made a mess of things. And that's all, apparently, we keep doing.
But this is why politicians hated Donald Trump. The rule of Washington, and you see this in both political parties, is they never want issues to go away. You know, it's why are we still fighting over abortion on the right? Why? Because, you know, Republicans had both houses and the presidency.
And did nothing.
And they didn't do it. Why? Because then if you remove the issue, if you end that fight, everybody will vote for you next time. My God, you're the guy who ended abortion. God bless you. And then the next time they say, well, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
And so if you end an issue, so nobody wants to end the fight. The same goes for the military. Military want to have a base. Yeah, you know, they want to Bagram Air Base for the end of time. And I was like, okay, well, why? So they're, the generals are pouting. You know, like, oh my God, you took away our air base that we could access all sorts of stuff in Asia. Well, then be honest about it. Yeah. It's okay. Well, we're going to be there. We're not going to ever leave because we are the bad guests. We are the people who show up in your home at 5:30 in the evening and come 4 a.m. after everybody's left. We're still sitting there and we're saying, hey, you got some more chips?
Yeah, but when we got there, we kicked the windows in and, to get in, and then we sat down with M16s. We were supposed to be there.
We're the guy at the dinner party where everybody is, you know, finishing off their plates, and the waiter comes out and says, now, would any of you like dessert? No, no, no. I'll have the souffle. That takes 45 minutes, sir. I'm okay. It's a Family Guy joke. I'm stealing a Family Guy joke.
But. And then you get a call from the FBI. They're like, I'll have some.
Yeah, and then, of course, and then if you want everybody to, you know, everybody divide up the check.
Right. Oh, I'll tell you this, man. I once went out to dinner. I got invited to a dinner when I was working at a media company. And they're like,
we won't name any names.
I worked for only two. They're like, we're going to this very expensive restaurant, which I won't name, and you're invited to come. And they were like, just ordering and like bringing things out. And they were like, get this, get that, get this. And I'm like eating my food. And I'm like, this is really expensive stuff. It was like $100 plate. But I'm like, it's cool because I'm just going to get this thing. And then afterwards, they're like, so split it okay? And the bill was like $2,000. And I was like, what? There's like five of us or whatever. I'm like, dude, that's how they get you. And I'm like, you're crazy.
That's a scene from the movie The Paper.
Yeah. That's what we're doing in the Middle East, I guess. Now it's crazy to see. I think like the EU leaders in the UK were saying like Biden's lost it. They're calling him out. They're condemning him. You screwed this up, blah blah blah. And
Well, the one thing we've not talked about from this is because you talked about the EU, what is going, forget the couple hundred thousand people we get out of Afghanistan. There are 38 million people in Afghanistan, and you know the Taliban's not exactly going to really focus on border control.
38 million people in Afghanistan.
So they're not going to be focused on border control. So how many people from Afghanistan start the long trek to Europe where they know they'll get better goodies?
10 million.
And, you know,
a third of the country.
No, but Europe's been decimated by the global economy is just in flames. There's food shortages across the border.
Right, but you look at Europe and then you look at Afghanistan. Yeah, believe me,
true.
You know, it's an upgrade. It's, you know, and it's one hell of an upgrade. So that's why people are constantly risking their lives to cross the Mediterranean.
I'll tell you this. I went to Greece and I actually interviewed many refugees. And it was really amazing when I was in Athens and we saw some people drug dealing. And so we actually asked them, like, hey, would you want to do an interview? Like, we pointed the camera down. We didn't show their face. And the guy said that he came. It's been a long time since I watched the video. The video is still up on my YouTube channel. You can watch it. I think he was from Afghanistan. And they were all given these dreams of, like, how amazing it will be if you can finally make it to Europe. And then he realized it was all not true. That coming here was actually worse off. That, you know, you don't speak the language. That your only option is to be a drug dealer. And now you're at risk of being imprisoned and you're not free and it's scary. When I went to France, I went outside one of these refugee centers, and this was the sentiment. They said, we were lied to. We were told we would come here, we'd be given jobs and homes. Instead, we're suffering. It's worse than ever. And if I could, I'd go back home. And then I went to Lesbos, and there were people who were like swimming to the island, and they were like, it's a prison camp. Mm. They were like, we came here, and now we're in prison camps. It's torture. And so they were constantly rioting, and I'm like, someone is telling these people some BS.
Well, I mean, to some extent, it's the people who sell them immigration, the people who they get thousands of dollars from. I'll transit you across the Mediterranean for thousands of dollars. One of those boats that, you know, that they try to stop got 50, 100 people in it. You figure a couple grand a piece on a leaky wooden boat with an outboard motor. I mean, that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, and I think Greece started like scuttling ships, just kicking them off.
They built a wall.
They
also built a wall. Which is very good.
Built a wall. Came out. Yeah. You know, that's a funny thing too. I remember when I went to Sweden and I went to Europe for the refugee crisis. Donald Trump was like, "We're going to build a wall. It's going to be the greatest wall." And people kept saying walls won't work because people will fly over. And then I'm like, a 3-meter chain link fence reduced immigration into I can't remember which country by like 90%. And the reason was the families couldn't go over. Like the father probably could, but the mom and the kids couldn't climb the fence. So they'd go around.
Well,
and so just literally just a chain link fence.
Well, walls also work when you man them. You know, I mean, if somebody can throw a ladder up and put it over and then everybody can climb over, yes. But if you've got, you know,
a moat with alligators.
Well, I mean, you've got Hadrian's Wall. I mean, this is a system that worked for a long time. You've got the Great Wall of China. Their walls do work, but they require staffing.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, you have to say, sorry, no. Would stop everybody? No. But oh, look at the border we've got with Canada. We got the 3,000 mile unprotected border. So yes, if people want to go into Canada, let's, you know, pre-COVID, Canada let anybody in. Now Canada's also an insane asylum that just restricts every right you could possibly ever think you had. So pretty soon, I guess we're going to start getting refugees from Canada in the United States. So we'll have to worry about that border too.
So this is, I didn't see this story. Check it out from Reuters, August 21st. Greece completes border wall extension to deter potential Afghan migrants.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And there it is. I mean, that's a hefty wall. Looks like it's got barbed wire on it.
Notice it looks better built than ours.
Yeah, what's up with that? It's a boundary with Turkey. It is bollard fencing. It's very, very similar, but it does look better. Like, ours look rusty. What was up with that, you know? Well, they built it with rust?
Well, also, then, you have to remember, you wonder if when the Greeks build that wall, if they're also thinking about the fact that they tend to maybe go to war with the Turks.
Mm.
You know, like, okay, is this just one more sort of, you know, discouragement to the Turks roaming in and attacking them? Because they still divide Cyprus.
You know, it's like the global order is collapsing. It's not just the United States. It's all of this international trade. You know, when we were hearing China was turning back ships from American companies because they wanted to keep the equipment with the PPE and stuff like that. Just the whole system is like,
what's that? The center cannot hold thing. I mean, yeah. You know, we've all four of us lived in unprecedented times. I mean, we're still benefiting from the post-war boom from World War II. World War II blew up the manufacturing and, you know, the cities of pretty much almost every civilized nation. And coming out of it, you know, United States, we didn't do it. Yeah, so we built tons of factories, and then soldiers came back. We had this manufacturing base, and we're very difficult to invade, at least as a military, because where we're located.
And we're armed to the teeth.
Yeah. And so we're sort of basking in that. But times change. Technology, when the internet got invented, Fortress America went away. Because suddenly Russia, China, and Iran, anybody else who wanted to involve themselves in America could do so every single day. They could do it on the internet, and social media made it worse. It's not that's talking about, you know, Russia. I'm talking about RT. I'm talking about, you know, Chinese media. Chinese have Facebook won't allow itself to be based in China. Oh, we're not going to go in China. They got the great Chinese, you know, the great firewall of China. Mm. But meanwhile, Chinese media companies have 751 million followers on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
751 million followers and pushing out pro-China propaganda. I don't see Facebook kicking them off. Yep. I don't see them restricting because they don't dare mess with China. And not to mention, in fact, of course, the money they're getting from the ad placement on those 751 million, you know, users.
Yeah.
I was looking at Facebook followers, man. And these politicians will have like 600,000 followers, 300,000 followers, people I've never really even heard of or just starting to hear of. That could be a good thing that they're becoming famous, but they're not really that special of people. Like they don't strike me as like exceptionally talented or intelligent. Maybe intelligent, but they ran for that position. They won the popularity contest and now they're super, like 27-year-old people have hundreds of thousands of followers that will never leave. Like for the rest of their life, those people know who they are. And it's disturbing. It's disturbing that a politician might make a life out of it. That is not tenable.
We live in a narcissistic culture, we've exported it now to the whole world.
To sell out your ethics to get reelected is like have brought us to where we're at right now, I think.
Well, it's not just reelected, it's get famous. I mean,
yeah.
It's what happened with Swalwell. You know, okay, if you're not an especially famous congressman and some hot young girl wants to, I'll use the air quotes again, euphemistically date you, and, you know, alarm bell should go off in your head.
Yes.
If she's super hot and old Chinese. Somehow well, you know, it should occur to you.
You see it all the time. The frumpy weird kid, you know, and he's just trying to be cool and fit in. And then all of a sudden this attractive woman and he falls right for it. Mm. You know,
oldest
story in the book. Turns out she's a Chinese spy the whole time.
Yeah.
You know,
Horatio Sanz was going through that. His statement was like, when I was a kid, I was super unpopular and girls never liked me. And now he's super famous and he's got all these like 17-year-olds coming up to him and crawling all over him at bars.
It's so just, he was a creepy weirdo when he was young, and he's an even creepier weirdo when he's older. Weirdo.
Love you. Wow, love yeah. you, Horatio. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know anything about that guy. Yeah. And I don't know if he was the one that said that. I think Chris D'Elia had said that like when I was a kid, I had no. And so. Yeah, and now like, he's older and he's like
telling people
high school girls are talking to him for the first time.
But telling people you're a creepy weirdo when you were young doesn't excuse you.
No, it's like disgusting. But now you understand why they're crazy like that. Well, why would a famous
ordinary people don't have the opportunities to take advantage or be taken advantage of the way famous people do. I mean, look at athletes. Athletes, you know, the second they're identified in peewee sports. You know, oh my God, you can throw the ball. Oh my God, you can run fast. You know, you can hit the ball. Their lives change. Everybody tells them they're great. High school, grade schools, high schools, college, bend over backwards. The stars of our pro sports, even the secondary or tertiary players in our pro sports were people who were stars every step along the way in their lives. Ravens right now have a backup quarterback who actually beat Lamar Jackson, the starting quarterback, when they're in high school together. And you know, and so now he's a backup quarterback in the NFL. Maybe he's the second quarterback, and he's always been a star. When that happens, you get, you'll have women throw themselves at you or men, depending on, you know, who you are, financial opportunities. Everybody thinks everything you say and do is perfect. This is what happens to politicians. Politicians get used to yes people. Mm. Nobody, one of the worst problems of DC is nobody will tell you, you know, we tell the boss, hey boss, that's a really stupid idea. And so it becomes a culture. Every time I hire people, I have to sit down and try to explain to them, yes, you're allowed to tell me I'm wrong. Matter of fact, you're encouraged to do it because sometimes I'm an idiot.
That's a good point, because we hire them, but then they hire a bunch of yes men to surround them as they do their job, like their staff, these politicians.
Yes. Or they're politicians because yes men surround them and tell them to run. You know what it is? I was reading that celebrities tend to be narcissists. Because narcissists tend to be the people who insert themselves. And so when it's no surprise, the people who are on TV all the time are the people who demanded to be on TV because they think they're better than you. You get a bunch of narcissists and sociopaths. Same thing is true of politicians. There's the people who are like, I must run because only I can save the people. It's like, you're a nut job.
Well, but I mean, that's
how do you find real leadership?
But I mean, that's all people in Washington. I had a former girlfriend of mine tell me one time, she's like, well, you don't have a big ego. I said, you're just grading on a curve. You know, this is DC, man. You know, you're working on Capitol Hill. Everybody in DC's got a huge ego just by comparison.
Yeah. If we could find a way to use ego for an energy source, we'd be DC would power the universe.
Yeah.
The piezoelectricity, measuring the vibration of the brain waves and creating electrostatic charge.
Wait, you say brain waves in DC? We'd be able to power a flashlight.
Yeah. I mean, that's being generous. LED flashlight? How about that?
Did you work like in the DC machine?
I've worked prior to working for media critics. I was in media. I worked at a couple of daily papers. I worked for Chronicle Higher Education, Congressional Quarterly. I've always worked in media or in some form or now criticizing media.
Do you think this is something we've come up with, is that they say politics is downstream from culture? I think culture is downstream from technology. Do you see any possibility that this system could be solved politically?
Well, the problem is political will comes from people, which is back to culture. And, you know, that's – so, I mean, it's all synergistic. I mean, there's no – you can't just take one piece out. Donald Trump was a great example of how a combination of technology and culture, people just wanting change. I know a lot of Bernie Sanders people voting for Donald Trump, people were frustrated with the powers that be. You think people were frustrated with the powers that be when they voted for Donald Trump? You get three and a half more years of what's been going on the last 7 months, and they'll be willing to vote for the ice cream salesman down the street.
Let's say establishment politics we will call Substance X. And Substance X has been pouring out of all of our faucets and our vents and our TVs.
It's the blob.
And then, yeah, it's just sludge. And then what happens is Trump comes along and he's like, I'm going to fix it all. It'll go away. I'm the best. No more Substance X. And people are like, I will take whatever I can get. But what happens is he plugs it up. It starts backing up in the pipes. And now Biden is like ultra concentrated Substance X. It's like it builds up and then Trump holds it back for a few years and then boom, it comes out. And you get everything that people hated about establishment politics going back for decades. Biden is, and with along with the media, like a hyper concentrated version of it.
Well, it's not just Biden. It's particularly, yeah, it's along with the media. I mean, right. Whether how much Biden is doing to self, it's certainly the establishment that's running DC right now is, you know, the back of the woke politics, the woke, you know, stuff in school, kind of critical race theory, which is racism. All of this stuff is so overwhelming now that it's intended to overwhelm you. It's intended to make you lose hope. It's intended to make you give up and just accept it. We're living through a cultural revolution. So yes, culture. So all that stuff is still downstream from culture. But the difference is culture is now hyper-powered with technology that it's never seen before. China is doing a good job of mastering it, or at least riding the Fenris wolf, you know, and not having it eat them. Boy, that's about to be my dorkiest reference for the evening.
I think a lot about deepfakes, because we're coming up on neural net and deepfakes. And like when we see a deepfake video of a guy getting his head cut off by a deepfake ISIS guy and a deepfake American, and we think it's real, and it might be a real fake person's face on, and then the country goes to war because of some deepfaked false flag.
Running Man, the map where they map the guy and they kill Arnold Schwarzenegger and they just, you know, they map somebody's Arnold's face on somebody else. That's what deep fakes. And you know who's most scared of it? Politicians. Mm-hmm. Not even. They're afraid for the late hit where it shows politician X, or Substance X in a porno.
Yeah. Someone tried making, like, I remember there's a viral video of, like, the P-tape, and they're like, it was clearly staged and fake with an awkward camera angle. But it's not even necessarily deepfakes. It's when they, you know how they do what is it called when they make that is a deepfake, I guess. When they just make a fake person. It's not a real person. Yeah. The face doesn't exist. It's like,
Yeah,
so it's not like they'll take Ian's face and put it on your body. It's like they literally will artificially generate a face that is of no person that's real.
Site. Yeah, we got the sites that now create just build your own avatar.
Do you guys remember when they made the Joe Rogan simulator where you could type in words and then it was Joe Rogan saying them?
Oh, nice.
And it was near perfect. Yeah. And they ended up taking it down, I guess. Yeah. You know,
Joe's like, it's a little.
I don't know if Joe
much,
came
guys.
Out against it, but like they can do
they
that
took
to
it down.
Anyone. Like, yeah, the guys who made it.
It was too creepy or something.
They were making videos of Joe saying crazy stuff to prove a point, and it's like, that's messed up, dude.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, so they can. Somebody posted a video just this week where it was from Canada, and it was a woman saying that ISIS are brothers. And I raised questions because it didn't lip sync out. Mm. And I still don't know. I haven't seen it that where it becomes proof that it was phony, so maybe it's legit, but it didn't look, if you watch the video, very clearly she's enunciating every syllable correctly. And she gets to Brothers, and there's like a little blip, and then it doesn't look right. And I'm thinking, is this phony? So, I mean, I even tweeted to people, and I saw several people raising the question.
Why haven't we seen more of this? Like, why haven't we seen, you know, AOC or Trump or Biden or Harris?
Oh, it is coming.
Yeah, he's right. It's coming.
Well, yeah. I mean, imagine what Iran or Russia could do. Mm-hmm. Putting out a video of Biden, and it's just like deep faked in audio, and it's Biden saying something. And they wouldn't make it crazy like him saying something like racial slur. It would be him saying something like, yeah, well, what was I supposed to do about these Marines anyway? You know what? We got more.
Or literally saying F them. Yeah, just, you know, from a little, oh, here's a tape. But the deep state.
But see, you can't just do that because it's too, people will be like, F him. Like, there's no way Biden would say that. His son died of cancer and served.
But he, you know, I mean, I think a lot of politicians would say that.
People would believe it. But I think if we saw a PSYOP, it wouldn't be that direct. It would be something like, yeah, well, we're sad to lose him, but we got more.
Well, remember, we're living in the PSYOP. And I don't mean like some sort of phony artificial thing. The whole goal of foreign governments is to put us against each other.
Yeah.
And we're living that every day. And I mean, the us them thing, we live the us them thing. And I'm probably, you know, a good part of that, you know, fighting that. But if you look every single major issue now that's fought on Twitter, you run into the bot armies, and the bot armies make it look like, oh, there's a lot of support for this thing that
They're not necessarily bots. They're sock puppets.
Yeah, sock puppet. You know, but phony accounts or small accounts. And
you know, that's why you don't read replies. Don't read comments.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, I look for real people.
It's one guy. Like when you read your comments and you have like 10 comments where they're like, you're ugly, you're fat, you're a loser. It's one guy.
It's God speaking to you through whatever.
What's funny is when you delete the one and another one just picks up right where the one left off. Like, well, of course, it's the same person. They think you don't.
When they accidentally use their socks without realizing it. Yeah. They forgot to switch their account
over. This is, another zero follower June 2021 account. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But nevertheless, politicians and business people don't understand this.
Yep.
Flat out don't. So when Tennessee went to constitutional carry for guns, God bless them, I saw some people responding to the governor saying, oh, thank you very much. This is, you know, this is great. We want, next thing, the parade of the accounts. And you could tell some people who were on there didn't get what was happening. And that's truly unsophisticated. I mean, that's, you know, garbage entry level, you know, political maneuvering. The Democrats have a couple bot armies or sock account armies. Russia has at least one or two. China has one. Iran doesn't, shockingly. And they don't even understand you can block people. so they're very unsophisticated, but we've now discovered the Taliban is so sophisticated that even the media are speculating that they've hired a PR firm. this is affects our politics every single day, and it's designed from foreign governments and even people in our country to pit us against one another.
Yep. Let's go to Super Chats. If you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, and check out the Cast Castle, because we have started ramping up production. We're getting almost daily vlogs out right now. And if you want to see the inner workings of what's happening here at the studio, it's a whole lot of just, I don't know, people are skating. We had a fog machine.
You got a really cool facility here. You really do.
And we started the show, the Cast Castle vlog, earlier this year, and now we've ramped up production. So we're getting to the groove, figuring things out. The other day I went down into the green room where we invite our guests, and it was full of smoke from the smoke machine. And we have like our guest Daniel Turner is like sitting there in a shroud of fog, and I'm like, what are these people doing
through the mist?
And they're so cool, and I'm like, guys, and they're like, oh, I'm like, get a fan, what are you doing? We have people coming in the house. But it's funny.
Always an adventure.
So, youtube.com/castcastle. Let's read some super chats. Smash that like button for Ian. Smash that like button today, a sad Ian will be brightened by your contribution of one like.
It's true.
Thank you.
How with Ian? Smash it for me.
Oh, yeah. All right. Smash it for Dane.
Smash it for me so that you bring me back, because this place is cool and I actually don't live all that far away.
A sad old man.
Oh, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Smash it for the creepy old guy who's hanging out with people half his age on Friday night.
Well, I don't know how old
the magic user.
Yeah, exactly.
How old are you?
Old.
Okay. You don't want to say?
I don't want to say.
Because I don't think, Ian's old.
I'm older.
Ian's 50. 40.
Ian's almost. 50. I'm almost. But I'm 40.
I'm OG.
You were quick to be like 40.
Let's just go for OG and stick there.
Yes, I like
I'm
that.
I'm 73.
No, let's read some of these super chats. Harry Toe says, no Luke, we nuke.
Yeah. Well, no Rutkowski, we Pukowski.
Yeah,
I saw that a couple days ago.
If people aren't going to be sending loving messages to Luke every day to let him know, I mean, why would he come back?
Yeah.
And the new studio is around the corner, so we're going to have it much easier to accommodate more people. And that's going to be a whole lot of fun. Oh, I'm so excited. We just ordered a whole bunch of these LED light bars. Mm-hmm. So the whole top of the room is going to be lined by these LED bars.
So awesome.
And then there's going to be a halo above the table, so lighting will be perfectly
I'm surprised
balanced.
You didn't go for the circular table, though. You know, to do circular. The whole, you know, Knights of the Round Table thing.
That'd
you know?
Cool.
That'd be too difficult. You know, you'd be sitting next to someone like 2 feet from you to like try and talk to them, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
We have like, we can accommodate, I think, up to 8 people now.
Yeah.
Not that we'll do it because that would be a cacophony of voices.
Yes.
It'd be like Twitter.
Yeah.
It's already hard enough with 4 or 5 people.
Leave one seat just for bots.
Yeah, seriously.
We can get a Biden bot.
Yeah.
Just randomly say, come on, man.
Get that 360 camera in one of the seats so that you can watch and as if you're there.
Cool, you can steal.
No, we could do that. That'd be cool.
You could steal the animatronic Joe Biden because it really looks exactly like Joe Biden and talks exactly like Joe Biden because he's animatronic.
I want that thing.
All right, let's read some more. We got It's Me saying it's Tom McDonald Friday. Dummies is out. Yeah.
Let's
wow. There's so many excellent lines in Tom McDonald music that I'm just like.
I like it.
Dude's a philosopher, man. Yeah.
I like listening to him.
Yeah, Dummies is good. I haven't memorized the lyrics, but I remember sitting there being like, he's got it. Like, there's lines in that. You should check out Dummies, man. Tom McDonald kills it, dude.
Yes.
All right, let's see what we got here. Control-Alt-Delete says, I love Papa Joe. Take your soma and go back to sleep, sheeple. We are living in the times between 84 and Brave New World. Yeah.
But at least Brave New World was a satire. Yeah, we're living in the real version.
Yeah.
Like interesting. It. Chris says, couldn't find stream today. Had to come to channel directly to find it. Normally it's on my homepage. Figured y'all should know. I watch every night.
Me too.
Chris, thank you for seeking out the show. I will say that we were having weird hiccups where the show was cutting out, and our internet's perfect. And this is the only other time this has happened has been when we talked about China and censorship.
Yep.
So I wonder if they don't like you.
That would shock me so much.
Yeah.
Let's see. I support free speech. I spent all my day like fighting idiots who want to censor stuff. Yeah, I'd be totally stunned.
Yeah.
Austin Schaefer with a very intelligent point that I didn't even consider. Tim, one way we have to one thing I assume you mean we have to possibly be ready for a forced vaccine coming from insurance companies for health insurance. Easily could be rejected on rates raised for health or life insurance if you do not have the vaccine.
Yeah.
Or what if they say access to, you know, Medicare and Medicaid, you have to be up to date with all of your shots.
Well, they could simply say if you're going to get any government program.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Yep.
Easy.
I mean, is that wrong?
Yes.
it's the question of if we are going to be paying you to take care of your medical ailments, like we as a community, but you aren't taking care of yourself, why should we pay for it?
Well, right? So then where do you draw the line? Mm-hmm. Do you, you're too fat.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, so you got to lose 20 pounds. Oh, wait, you're now, your skateboard activities, they're risky.
Yep.
You're going to hurt yourself. So you got to stop that. Let's see. You drive too much. You drive too fast. We caught a speeding ticket. So we're going to take that. I mean, this is a genuine Twilight Zone episode. Where the guy wanted to, I think he wanted to lose weight, and then they went after his cigarettes, and you know, it's like, or vice versa. I can't remember which one it was. But I mean, this is they can by that rationale they can control everything you do. These doctors who say, "Oh, well, I'm not going to treat COVID patients who don't have the vaccine." Well, are you treating fat people? Are you treating people who don't take care of themselves in any other way?
That was my observation too, but I would make it the more analogous comparison between something like an STD, which you can spread to other
AIDS.
People.
AIDS! The 100% perfect comparison is AIDS. And, you know, where it was, you have to be compassionate. People are still living their lives. Well, then, the very people who said you've got to be compassionate now want to say, I want to destroy you, I want to destroy your life. I don't like, I don't like the idea of forcing people to do something. I've said this before. I've got the vaccine. I'm sure some people who are listening right now are freaked out or annoyed by that. It gave me 100% access to seeing my dad.
Yes.
My dad's in long-term care. And when you get the vaccine, you know, the facility he's in, a lot of people died from COVID. My father actually had COVID and somehow beat it, even at 92. Tough. But when you've got the vaccine, I can get in to see him. And so, you know, that's a risk I'll take any day.
Do you mean based on regulations, or do you mean based on safety?
Based on safety at that facility, because they had so many problems. All the facilities have had to rein things in because there has been so many seniors who are killed. Mm-hmm. You get one COVID case in a facility, you know, these are the people who've got comorbidities and they're old and they're the most likely to have the problem.
And that's where Cuomo killed all those people.
Yeah, well, these are the people at risk. One of the reasons why they want Cuomo to go away is there are four other Democratic governors who did the same thing.
Yep.
You don't see that story anywhere. But that said, I think the entirely rational approach is simply, okay, I chose my own health care. Don't force me to choose my own health care. That's dictatorship.
Well, forcing you to choose your own health care you
better
pick what you want to do or else.
No, you better pick what we want you to do. That's what the left does all the time. What's the family that's got all the kids?
The Duggars?
The Duggars. Yeah. Okay, so the left will say, we believe that, you know, women's right to choose. Oh, women's right to choose. So, but then somebody goes and has a bunch of kids. They freak out. It's like, well, you chose poorly.
Yeah.
So we don't approve.
Well, you ever see the South Park episode where they're having the election between a giant douche and a turd sandwich? And then I think it's like Stan says, I don't care about voting, and they'll get mad at him. And then finally he's like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to vote. And Kyle is all like, yes, vote for my guy. And then he sees that Stan voted for the other guy, and he's like, wait, what are you doing? No, don't vote for them. What are you doing? You're voting for the wrong person. Yeah, they want you to vote when you vote for their guy.
One of the things that's gone viral repeatedly is the Seinfeld episode where Kramer goes and does the AIDS mock, and he doesn't want to wear the button. Doesn't want to wear.
Oh,
wear
right, the AIDS
flag.
Right, right. Yeah.
Doesn't want to wear the AIDS flag, and they beat him up. You know, it's like, okay, but wait a second. I'm walking. He clearly cared about the issue, but no.
They were like, wear it. He's like, no.
This is America. I don't have to do it. And that's the thing. The more they push and it doesn't matter what the issue is. It doesn't matter whether it's COVID or censorship or anything. The more government, media, business coordinate and say, this is what you must do, the more there's a good chunk of the population that says, well, then that's, of course, not the thing I want to do.
Especially against resistance that's already formed. If there was no resistance and it was an obvious problem, most people, I think, could get down with self-mandation. Like, I bring this up. If people were falling down on the street, stumbling over and bleeding out of their face from this thing, I would not have a problem with the government being like, look, we're not going to take a 60% of our population die to this thing.
Well, I mean, that was smallpox back in the day.
Yeah.
Smallpox did like a really, really high death rate.
It's like 20% or something, wasn't it?
I don't remember but it was massive. Much worse than anything we can even comprehend.
Let's read some more super chats. We got a couple people saying that we're being censored. Coldilocks Production says your stream no longer shows up on my front page recommendations, and it now continues to freeze when I have full bars of cellular data. Totally not suspicious, is it? Mm. And we also have full bars on our end, so this is an internal YouTube problem. Yeah, this is interesting. Elizabeth Carmella, comedian, says, "Hey guys, I don't know if you guys ever used to watch that show House. House is awesome with Hugh Laurie. He used ivermectin many times in that show." To treat his crazy cases. When I first heard the news talking about it, I already knew what it was because of that show. Interesting. I'll check that out.
I wonder if they'll take those episodes down.
Or wonder if they already have.
Yeah, I'm
curious. Ultra Squash says, "Hey Tim, been watching since I was 13, 17 now. Thanks." Wow. You gotta inspire children, you know, to be better people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal, right? That's one of the reasons why we're doing the vlog, because we don't want to be overly political. We don't want to be overly negative. We want to put resources into doing things that are fun and exciting and inspirational and positive, you know, and we want people to respect freedom and individuality. So
I was going to say, I got the leap on this because I've followed you for 10 years because I go all the way back to Occupy days.
Wow.
Which is 10th anniversary coming up next month.
Oh, nice.
That's right. Yeah. 17th. All right, let's see. Jay says, do you have any recommendations for new people to learn Linux programming? I'm looking into a career change. I want to try this. Oh, you want to learn to code?
Ian. But if you post that on YouTube, you can get banned.
Yeah, you'll get banned. Yeah.
I'm not a coder. I don't know. That's the short answer. I wish I could give you some advice. I think you can like go online and get videos of the programming and then just follow along with it on another monitor if you have an extra monitor, and then just do the things as they say step by step, and you'll learn the process. The languages are like a big database of information that you'll need to memorize over time, but the more you enter the stuff, the faster you'll learn it.
There are lots of sites that do things like classes for painting and, you know, calligraphy, and I imagine that at least one of them would have some kind of coding.
100%.
Well, and I bet some of the posters right now who are responding to him and saying, oh, here's what
for
you
sure.
get.
Mm-hmm.
The,
yeah,
the lead
sure.
developer of Minds learned that way, Mark Harding.
Perfect.
Just
oh, cool.
Watched
Good
videos and taught himself.
All right. Sakantia says, hey there, Tim. Have you heard of a little shop called 5-0 Skate Shop? A certain operator named after a round breakfast pastry. Also, have you ever watched The Clone Wars, Rebels, or Bad Batch? Loving the members only segments. I have not watched any of those shows, and I don't know the Skate Shop. Sorry. David Fry with the $1 Super Chat. Thank you so much for your support.
Thanks,
all
David.
The Super Chats. We love them. X asks, so did you sue the fact checkers on Facebook? So when, for me, in my case, I didn't actually post the thing that was checked. And so the challenge is, it was someone screenshotting a tweet of mine, but it wasn't content that was of mine, and it wasn't negatively impacting a page, so there's no damages. It's just them lying. And so the challenge with defamation cases, you got to prove damages.
Well, and also you've got to have an army of lawyers. I mean, mm-hmm. Facebook can, you know, rain money like they're going to a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able to pay up for that. And it's hard to do. It really is.
Oh, this is important. Little Tales Farm says, Tim, our chickens hatch tomorrow, and we will be filming it on our YouTube channel for everyone to see. Also, we bought a huge mini house shed converting into our version of Chicken City. Love the show.
Ooh. Nice.
We have probably the worst possible time to be doing this. Well, actually, I mean, maybe Little Tales, I don't know, you know better than I do. We have 12 eggs in the incubator now, and they're going to hatch in about a week, just shy of 2 weeks. They're not going to be able to go outside. It's going to be cold, you know? So we're going to have to keep them inside or build something for them, cool. I guess.
Yeah.
We have three babies right now. They're 2 weeks old officially, and so they're, you know, running around and they're doing chicken stuff.
It's a big house.
Yeah, we got like a – we just had to – so they were in the brooder box for a little while. But now they're getting too big and they're getting cramped. So now we set up an even bigger space. You know, it's like a guinea pig playpen area thing or whatever. It's like a cage. And so now they can run around and do, you know, their chicken thing, and they poop where they walk, and then they try to eat it. It's awful.
Yep.
They're chickens, you know, that's what they do.
Did you see Chris playing with the one on the vlog?
Yeah.
And they didn't want to go back in the cage.
They try to jump out.
You
put your hand in, they'll jump on your hand.
Super.
And then they'll try and climb up your arm.
That's awesome.
Well, because they want to get out. They want to run around and do chicken stuff. You know what I mean?
We should make it like a big area for them to play in if we can.
Right now they're really small. They don't need that big of an area.
I bet they would love it.
But the previous chicken family, you know, for Chicken City, they have the whole farm area, and they roll around in the dirt all day, and it's really funny.
Just make sure you protect them from aerial attack.
Yes.
My niece has chickens, and they notice a couple of chickens disappeared, and then they realize they had a hawk in the neighborhood, and then they had to build a roof on their
we have a roof.
The whole area because the chickens were going out, and.
Wow. Yeah, we have a roof on one part of it right now.
The actual coop is sealed.
But I mean, when they go out, they were getting hawked.
Yeah.
It was like Hawk the Slayer, for another movie reference for people who don't remember.
I don't want to wait around and then one day be like, one of them got one of the chickens. I wonder if we can.
Yeah, because they all have names. We named them all.
Then you definitely got to deal with that. I had a hawk in my neighborhood. I live in suburbia. I had a hawk in my neighborhood. And then when it went away, the dynamic of birds, the birds overbred in my area and went kind of nuts.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's like I wanted the hawk to come back because the birds were like flying into my house windows and stuff like that for a little while.
Wow,
come
weird.
On.
All right, this is great. Steven Heinold says, Tim, why do you always mention Dubuque, Iowa in your analogies? Did something nefarious happen to you there? And you're dropping hints for us to solve your secret like a large Timcast Easter egg?
It's true.
Buried.
Did you
proper coordinates?
Did you hang a flag up in Dubuque and waiting for everybody on the internet to figure out where it is?
It's because Dubuque is the perfect not big city.
So random.
So it's like, you know, if you said like, oh, in New York something happened, it's like, no. When you want to mention like Middle America, like Dubuque, Iowa, man.
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, I guess you could say Omaha. Almost. I've been to Omaha before. It's awesome.
There's a lot of, great lot of corn.
Oh, population's 57,800.
There you go.
Salute.
That's what I'm saying. It's perfect little middle American town.
Kind of my hometown.
Nobody gets the salute reference, everybody. Nobody watch Hee Haw.
Nope.
It's too lost.
Jordan says, Tim, the point Dorsey is making is valid. Yes, it's censorship, but at the same time, it can be dangerous for millions of people using social media to organize against the government. It is a threat, and he just called it out. What was that in reference to? Dorsey called what out?
Is this what his Anatomy of the State post?
I don't know.
I mean, his post was, my assumption was it was informing people of Rothbard's writing.
Definitely.
Which is calling the state parasitic.
It was like he was calling for help from inside the machine.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought it was.
It's like you're looking at the screen and his hand is reaching out.
I'm still here. I'm still Jack.
Help me.
Yeah, but there is a huge gap between organizing against the state and causing an actual insurrection, sort of like, you know, Portland, as opposed to posting stuff about COVID where Twitter disagrees with you. That's kind of a significant difference.
Yeah, I want to upgrade the United States, but sometimes that means twisting aspects of it that I'm afraid that if it gets too much censorship that we won't even be able to discuss the things that we need to fix.
Well, at 1,000,000,000% the point. If we can't even talk about the problems, if we can't even, the whole definition of the scientific freaking method is you come up with something and then other people get to challenge it in the normal society. Otherwise, what you've got is the Vatican from Copernicus's day. Oh, wait, yes. You came up with science. Sorry. We have faith. And that's what this is. This is the people on Twitter. They've turned science into faith.
Scientism.
You know, and you get the Washington Post. I love this. We did a study about the Washington Post. Washington Post is all the time, oh, well, you guys are not, you know, focusing on the science. Washington Post last year devoted, by our calculation, 45 full, the equivalent of 45 full pages to, drum roll please, astrology. Okay. Wow. So the sciencey people are devoting the equivalent size of an entire daily newspaper, big daily newspaper in the nation's capital, to astrology, which is bogus. And then turning around and calling people out for their daring to disagree with Fauci and such.
Yikes.
All right. Alex Aitken says, watch the video by Marine LTC Stuart Scheller. He talks about how people at the top need to be held accountable like the people at the bottom are. His video will end his 17-year career. Wow.
Oh, man.
What is that? Stuart Scheller, S-C-H-E-L-L-E-R. I'll check it out for sure.
Good for him.
Yeah, definitely. We have a great super chat, but the message was retracted. Oh, no.
No.
Well, thank you anyway. Horace Seymour also mentioning Marine Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, who was relieved of command in Afghanistan for speaking out about the Pentagon lack of planning. Bravo to him. Wow.
Dang.
Wow. All right, let's see. Steven says, I wouldn't be surprised if the Taliban sold the list of Americans Biden gave to them and ISIS got to the checkpoint with one of the names.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're expecting the terrorist to be honorable. Even if they don't all like ISIS, because they're, you know, ISIS, now ISIS-K, which by the way is just like, you know, some sort of made up term that we're supposed to focus on.
It stands for the Islamic State Khorasan, which is an ancient area of Afghanistan.
Yeah. But I mean, so yes, there's been conflict between ISIS and Taliban, but are we supposed to trust that everybody got access to that list is, oh, an honorable terrorist?
Sure, no doubt.
All right. Let's see. Alex Kelman says, been watching since March 2020. Also, TimCast.com member. First super chat. Walt Disney World is requiring all cast members, employees, to get the jab by Halloween or be terminated. 76,000 people in Florida. Wow.
Terminated. Boy, sounds that's just not the wording you know I would use if I was Disney.
The mass resignation, the great resignation, they're calling it. This is going to be, it's going to be absolutely exacerbated by the police now in Chicago are saying, if you push this mandate, we're not going to show up for work. It's on you. So many people are going to just be like, nope.
They said, well, nope.
Oh,
I was going to say the truckers are the real, I mean, the truckers have said, if you're going to mess with us when we show up with goods, if you're going to say, oh, you don't have the vax, we're not going to let you in or something like that, you're going to give us a hard time. Truckers said they're going to walk.
I saw
good luck cities.
A number said that within a year, you will see like 500,000 more resignations, or 5 million more resignations. I don't know. But it said that of the current workforce. And then they specified the workforce is employed and people looking for employment. Those people are considered in the workforce even though they don't have a job. That's insane to me.
But they could be considered unemployed.
But they're part of the workforce because they're actively looking.
Once you hit a point where you're moved.
It's backwards. You're right to bring it up. But what this means is when we are like the unemployment rate is currently at 8%, they're not including people who have given up. So if you're like, I can't get a job, I quit, I'm going to go live in the dirt, they don't consider you unemployed.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. These numbers are twisted.
Yes.
All numbers are twisted. Yep. All numbers, government numbers are twisted. But I mean that... Haven't you read
The Anatomy of a State?
No, I haven't.
The state is a parasite.
I heard that I should read it.
You reminded me why I like where I work, because we do not have a vax mandate. And,
I want everyone to understand this. If you, as a business, require people to get the vaccine, your employees, you are legally responsible for any adverse reaction. Now, I personally think the vaccine is safe. But I don't think people should be being mandated. And I've mentioned this before. There's like a scaling issue with trying to be more libertarian, like respecting a small business and what their choices are if it's an individual. But it's difficult when you scale up. The point is, if you work for a company, I'll tell people a few things to ease your mind. Simply draft out a letter saying that, ask your employer if they mandate it. Say, just, sign this and I'll gladly go to the doctor, and make them sign a document saying we will claim full responsibility for all, medical issues that arise following this, treatment or whatever. See what your boss tells you.
I think a lot of them will tell you, no, we're not signing
it. But it's I think it's the CDC that actually says they're liable no matter what if they mandate it. So I'm sorry. It's OSHA. OSHA said that if your job mandates it, they are responsible because it's considered, requirement for work. So, like, if your job requires you to, wear a safety harness as you climb and the safety harness breaks, it's their fault. They're responsible for that because they made you do it. Same thing is true here. So I think a lot of these businesses don't realize that. And when it comes to, like, your company saying you don't mandate it, we don't mandate it here because I will not assume liability for people's health choices. That's entirely on them, not me.
And we are pro-freedom.
I'm very pro-freedom.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, let's see what we got here. Ben Macklin says, satire site The Duffel Blog hit the nail on the head with their headline, quote, General Milley regrets not including Vietnam War history book on reading list. Aha.
Indeed.
The Ibram Kendi reference. That's a real good. The Duffel Blog is only second to Babylon Bee for real cool stuff.
Babylon Bee is prophetic, man. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
You can look back in time and see their articles actually come true. And you're like,
they keep a list
of the things that came true.
How many times. My still favorite is the washing machine, because it got fact-checked. They actually don't put their stories. CNN doesn't actually put their stories in a giant washing machine.
Eric Miller says, my third time super chatting this. Two scientists are trying to build a Star Trek-like impulse engine, reported on Bloomberg. Very interesting. All right, the Reaper Medic says, CPD and CFD are united in total opposition to the Chicago vax mandate. Most I know are willing to walk or take leave, myself included. Both departments are already short on manpower. This is going to get very interesting soon. I actually know people who work in those departments, and they have expressed... they might just walk.
Well, I mean, nationwide, the whole endless war on police is nationwide. Meant that police departments are struggling to find people, because who wants to go in an era where the politicians won't back you and you can't police? I know in my own county they had 9 graduates from the last police academy class, the smallest in history.
Wow, that's not cool.
Kubana says, I changed my career to political sciences. There's got to be a way to fight back. Republicans need young blood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean...
And balls, too. Would also be good.
Republicans need gumption.
Yes.
Republican Party just, like, sits around and they're like... I would definitely
encourage anyone to dispense with the word fight. Don't use the word fight, because no one wants to
build.
Fight. Yeah, people don't want to fight you right now. They want to create cool stuff. And they'll like you if you make cool stuff.
Build. Build, build, build. Hmm. Create.
Yeah. Make.
Yeah. Makers.
Fix.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Uh-oh. It just jumped on me again. YouTube always does that. All right, let's see. Where were we? Yikes. Okay, let's see. Joe F. says, please read me. Rosa Kaur, please look into her videos. She conducted presentations about 10 years ago, and what she discusses is coming to fruition over time and exponentially increasing in velocity. Green anything. Interesting. Exponentially, of course, is the Biden quote. He said exponentially.
Yes. Oh my God.
I thought it was a typo at first. I was going to say exponentially, and then I realized what they were doing with exponentially, and I was like, I had a really good super chat. Now it went. I can't see where it is now. Tina Collette says, Tim, I watch Cast Castle every day. Take this super chat and buy a hammer. Seeing your crew use pistols, bats, and other stuff makes me crazy and yell at the TV.
That's funny.
For some reason, when I was trying to open a box, they handed me one of these throwing axes.
That was awesome.
Why?
It's like a going theme on the castle now. People open boxes with the throwing axes.
I was going to say, but at least they didn't throw the throwing axe.
It's very chill.
I was like, does someone have like a knife I can open this box with? Like here, and I'm like, all right. It's an axe, I guess.
Is that a future episode? You're going to be, you know, on your skateboard throwing axe?
That's
cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Jimmy Kinto says, so when are you going to have an exclusive Alex Jones interview on your website so more can flock to it, LOL? We may have an announcement in the next few days about something that I think will break the internet.
Yes.
Alex Jones featuring a special guest.
Oh, yes.
I'm really excited.
Alexander himself?
Alex Jones and a special guest.
And since I'm privy to this, I'm not part of the usual propaganda of like why you should watch, but I can just say he's right. It really will break the freaking internet.
It will.
Okay. It's really a cool idea.
Well, so what we're trying to do is we don't want to do like crossfire necessarily. We had Vosh, we had Charlie, and that was really fun. We don't want to do like this very obvious like left versus right. We want to do like people who don't make sense sitting next to each other.
Yes, this is perfect.
So, you know, that's kind of the goal moving forward. So just to like expand, and it's kind of like to bring people together from different areas. So we really want to do like a crypto expert with, you know, someone who's overtly culture war and like just see where they come together with their ideas and like what they're concerned about. That'll be a lot of fun. But we're hoping to have Alex back very, very soon with a really fun guest. I don't want to say anything, like, obviously we're talking about Alex Jones. I don't want to say anything definitive yet because we don't have a date and we're trying to figure out, you know, if we can schedule these people properly.
Logistics.
But I think it's looking promising, you know. We've had Alex on a couple times. We always love to have him back. So.
And you can let us know when they censor it.
Yeah, we will.
Yep. Cause I don't think that'll happen this time. I think this is going to be a sillier conversation than anything, and it'll be a lot of fun and just, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, super chill.
Thing about the
Well, maybe not chill is the right word.
No, there's going to be no chill in that zip code.
Zero chill.
Well, I noticed about censorship that the act of it, just by definition of the word, like if you make a post and I look at it and I decide to let it be there, I'm censoring it. But the censor is deciding if it is or isn't. Just the act of deciding is the censorship. It's not the taking down of. So just having censors in place is like...
Yeah, having people who have the power to shut down your thought.
You might like the Minds setup right now. It's a jury system where if something gets reported for violating terms, it goes to a random selection of users that have to vote if they think it was a violation. And then if agreed upon by the jury, then it's sent.
Yeah, so that's better than what they set up for Facebook is basically you have the mob, and if you get enough mob people, just click, 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 then you get your post taken down.
Right.
MZ Kim says, get a dog to protect the chickens. We actually have two dogs that are running around at all times, and they, you know, they're peeing everywhere. So we're pretty safe from predators.
Yeah.
We used to have deer that would come out, but the dog's chasing away now.
Yeah. One of the dogs was super cute. The other one was tied up, so I didn't get to say hello.
Oh my gosh, they're the best.
Oh yeah.
Fave coworkers.
Sonny James says, Tim, I'm finding it real hard to be positive, especially seeing the quarantine facilities go up in Australia. Any examples of history where the people fought back and won against a minority of totalitarians without other countries' aid who had skin in the game? Man, I don't know.
Yeah, somebody from Australia was telling me the quarantine is just for people coming back into Australia.
That's not true.
I'm just saying that's what they're putting out.
So it's like, you know, oh, the camps are just for prisoners of war. Oh, the camps are just for people with typhus. Oh, the camps are just for the dissidents. Oh, the camps are just for people we don't like.
Yeah. What's funny is you mentioned camps. It's one of the big jerks on Twitter is George Takei, who grew up in one of the camps built and put there by FDR, a Democrat, and he spends all his time bashing Republicans. I mean, I'm sorry,
let's ask him about the quarantine camps in, you know, in Australia and see what he says.
I was gonna say that somehow if
he doesn't he doesn't run that account, I'm pretty sure.
I was gonna say, but if somebody, he goes on television, he goes on media all over the place. Somebody put me in a camp as a little kid, and that political party is still strong, I'd probably hold a grudge. Yeah. Just saying.
I don't know. He's got a lot of boots to lick. You know what I mean? Someone's got to do it.
His first name is Hosato, changed to George at some point.
Interesting.
I like that guy.
All right. Let's see. We'll do just a couple more here. Garhunt says, I just want Michael Malice in real Jester's outfit. Then Tim brings out a little puppet of Michael as Jester. That is a really weird but good idea. That'd be hilarious.
Great idea.
Like having like a little puppet Michael Malice.
I thought you were going to have him stripped down into those underwears he sells.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, let's see.
Oh, I could have done without that image.
Yeah. Right. It's on his Instagram if you
want
to see it.
Oh, yeah, if you want to.
Waffle Sensei says, Tim, good sir, when are you going to upload the original Alex Jones Michael Malice episode to the website? I don't know if we have it.
Oh, then
let's put it on Rumble.
Yeah, it's on my laptop.
Ooh. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I know it is up on iTunes and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, the audio, I think.
Oh, maybe not. No, I think
no,
it
you
is.
Had me, okay, you had me take it down off the podcast platforms, too.
Did I really?
Yeah, you did, because you're like, nope, take it down. I was like, okay, all right.
We'll put it up right now.
All right, we'll figure it out, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, there was a lot of confusion around that, and we didn't know exactly what was going on or why or who was coming after us.
Yeah.
But then we forgot about it, so we can put it up on the website right now.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Struggling on YouTube says, inside info that CA Hospital is mandating the vaccine. It informed employees that if they are COVID positive but asymptomatic, to go ahead and come into work. It's not about health. It never was.
Mm.
Yikes, man. All right, we'll do one more. BTK says, when Millie meets evacuated troops who had to leave the others behind and the families of the dead, they'll teach him all colors of rage. Mm. All right. My friends, it's been a fun Friday night. Thank you all so much for hanging out. Go to timcast.com, become a member. We're going to put up that Alex Jones episode on Rumble immediately as soon as Lydia gets a chance to.
As soon as I get my laptop, yeah.
Yes. And then maybe by tomorrow morning, I think, you can expect it to be up. And, man, we screwed that one up. We should have had it up immediately. We just kind of dropped the ball on that one. I think, you know, what happened is that we were going to, like, we were always planning on getting on the website, but then I immediately shifted focus to rebook them, do the show again. And then, like, a week later, we just did the show again because I was like, ain't nobody going to bring us down. But we'll get it up. So you can follow us on the show at TimCastIRL. You can follow me personally at TimCast. Check out youtube.com/castcastle for all of the vlog shenanigans. Dan, did you want to shout anything out?
Yeah, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter at Dan Gaynor, DanGainor. If you get censored, which I know a lot of you are getting censored, go to censortrack.org. We got a whole little form for you to fill out. Fill it out because it's important.
You're doing really important work, man. Thanks
Thank
for coming.
You.
This has been really
This has been fun. And by the way, give lots of nice comments about me so they bring me back.
Please do. I love you. Thanks, man. Follow me at iancrossland.net and at iancrossland on social media if you want to get down. Hit me
up. Yes, and I'm loving that Dan is an older version of all the nerdy guys that I hang out with every day. I think that's awesome. You guys are free to follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids as I continue my quest to have more followers than Sour Patch Kids.
We will see you all at the Cast Castle vlog, youtube.com/castcastle. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye, guys.